control the Democrats' operation.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Oh, I'm afraid this battle station will be quite operational when your friends arrive. So, I'm warned of a globalist deep state coup using false flags for civil war because they wrote battle plans and admitted it all, but that's the plan of more. And now you got National Guard shot, you got all this craziness coming out. And I remember when Obama left office, and I've harped him 1,000 times, literally, or more, the Countering Foreign Disinformation Propaganda Act left stay-behind networks political sleeper cells with billions of dollars to undermine the American voters and try to overthrow Trump. So why does Trump always fight the new lie, the new scam, the new hoax, instead of going at the direct generator of the fraud, the mothership, the command base, the progeneration center of it? Well, now that's happening, and Mike Mintz a few days ago was on with Benny Johnson, did a really great job with the documents laying this out. We'll play that coming up next segment. But coming up today on this special Black Friday transmission, General Flynn, Mark Mitchell, the top pollster, Emerald Robinson, the incredible investigative journalist, Dinesh D'Souza, the top documentary filmmaker of all time, is the top documentary. They're all coming up today. But none of that matters. Not what I say, not what I do, not what I cover, not what Dinesh D'Souza says or General Flynn or Mark Mitchell or Emerald Robinson. Without you sharing the live feed, sharing the article, sharing the clips, the dog don't hunt. Like a V for Vendetta. He meets with the head inspector, and the inspector said, well, if you knew all this, why didn't you do something earlier? And he goes, well, I need you, Inspector. I need you. That's why, again, I make this point every day. When you call in and say, oh, you're so great, you're so wonderful. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to be a slave on my knees. I want to fight on my feet and win, or at least die trying. You got to change that perspective. Don't thank me for fighting. Let's get together and fight and realize what we're supposed to do. It's not extraordinary to fight tyranny. We've just become asleep. A free society acts like this. What I'm doing is what a default American was like 150 years ago. I'm just kind of like a throwback, a caveman. I'm not special. But as a man, I got a real problem being a slave and lied to and my family destroyed. And my brain is designed to not just skin bucks or run trot lines or raise a garden or string electrical wire or bang out my wife. I'm designed to fight and defeat tyranny. That's really what I'm designed to do. And that's what you're designed to do. So until you start fighting tyranny, you're not a man. And by the way, you've got incredible weapon systems you haven't activated. I'm not bitching at you. I'm saying, it's like the Godfather says, are you spending time with your wife and children? Because you're not a man if you're not spending time with your wife and children. And that's totally true. And that's just the beginning. I work 15, 18 hours a day, but every hour I've got, sorry, buddies, I can't go to a football game. Sorry, can't go to the comedy club. Sorry, can't go to the steakhouse. Because I got to spend every minute while I'm not fighting tyranny with my family. Because if you're not spending time with your family, you're not a man. But that's the first level. If you're not fighting tyranny, when it's coming down on your ass, you're not a man. And maybe you see being a man's responsibility. It's not. It's what you're supposed to be. And when you dial into that, you dial into the universe and God. Become a man. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones. Patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
I'm over you. Distributed on the internet, our reality has become increasingly shaped by false information.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
It is Friday, November 28th, 2025. I am your battle-scarred chronicler, Alexander Emmerich Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, broadcasting worldwide. So, for those of you that tune in, not just for me telling you, you tune in because you already know a lot of this. You know I'm not lying because you're already informed. You teach me some things. I teach you some things. The guests teach us stuff. I teach them stuff. We want to be informed. We know how important this is. But for the general public, they're just now learning about all this. They're just now finding out about the deep state. And so you have USAID and the Department of Energy and Agriculture and EPA, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I mean, $92 billion, the 76 days Trump was president-elect, taken out of the Department of Energy, black-holed, exposed by Senator Kennedy 6 months ago. For all the attacks against America and Trump we see, putting it in foreign banks to use foreign intelligence agencies to attack us. And so I'll give Mike Benz a lot of credit. He's discovered a lot of stuff I didn't know. You know, Trump speechwriter, researcher, government analyst, all of it. But he was on Benny Johnson a few days ago, and he's like, we exposed the Countering Foreign Disinformation Propaganda Act, you know, in 2021 or whatever. I'm like, dude, We exposed it when it happened in late 2016. It's not about who did what first. I'm just like, I'm glad the general public's discovering this now, but we've been the victims of it. That's what sued me. That's what ran the operations. And then Todd Blanche discovers there's a DOJ investigation, how the DOJ did that, and he kills it. So you talk about, is Todd Blanche good, the deputy AG, all day long, or is he bad? Well, I got his tire tracks over my head, so to me, he's bad. Todd Blanche, let's meet. Let's talk about how we fix the DOJ. Yeah, right, dude. You know what you're doing, you Democrat lawyer. We want to connect me to something you got cooked up. You want to see a full statement? Well, you know, what is it? We know what's wrong with the DOJ, and it's lawyers like you that want to hedge their bets and not bet on America. You're the problem, not me. I don't want to make you my enemy. I don't give a shit about you. I want you to get out of our way. And if you look at the arc of history and the fourth turning we're in, you guys have bet on the wrong horses, the wrong ponies. You know, I can look into the future from the year 2025 and where we are right now. I can look at the timelines, and they all go, you know, different directions, but I can look the different scenarios where they go. And let me tell you, on all these trend lines, it don't go nowhere good for you boys. Do I know exactly where the future is going? No, but I got a pretty good idea. You got to just give up and join us and come in for the big win. Like they say in Full Metal Jacket, where the Marine Corps general says to his troops, all I've asked is for my Marines to follow my orders as if they're the word of God. Well, I'm not the word of God, and I'm not your general, but history is, and truth is, and if you're not in alignment with that, just keep swimming up against stream and see how it works out for you, because it ain't going to work out well. Now, I'm swimming with history because spiritually I have discernment and I have a conscience and I'm already aligned with God, so I just do it anyways, but then I feel good doing it. I feel good being the underdog. I feel good being persecuted. I'm not a masochist. Boy, I love pleasure more than probably anybody you know. But the pleasure of fighting tyranny and going through the inferno and to commit to that is the greatest pleasure there is. So any pain, financial, individual, spiritual, is really just a guiding light. Like, the more pain I am under means the more effect I'm having on you. To use the cheesy analogy, I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but I love the first Star Trek in the late 60s. Great comedy. You know, Kirk fighting the lizard and all the rest of it. You always say I'm the lizard guy, that's David Icke, but I do like that. But Wrath of Khan, the second Star Trek movie, where they're going to detonate the Genesis bomb, and Kirk says, we got to get warp power or we're all dead in 3 minutes. And Spock goes, well, I like this crew. I like these people. I like what we're doing. I'm going to beat the bad guys. I'll just go down to the reactor. I'm going to die in radiation, but I'll get it back online, and so I'm going to do it. And that's what this comes down to, is the decision. See, it's like a communist lie. Oh, things for the collective. Give up your rights. No. You're an individual, but you can decide for the collective to make a sacrifice because you're going to lose it all anyways. And genetically, when Jesus said, the greatest thing is not just doing to others as you do unto you, that's the golden rule. The Christ rule is be ready to lay down your life for your fellow man. Because when people have that attitude, they can't be bought. They can't be intimidated. They can't be backed down. They can't be pushed around. And as they've said, Zapata said, better to die on your feet, live on your knees. But I corrected that, and I said all the time, it's so true. You live on your feet statistically way more often than trying to serve on your knees. Or as Thomas Jefferson said, as I said a few days ago on the show, a nation of sheep will be ruled by wolves. So stop being sheep. So here's the Benny Johnson clip with Mike Benz. And again, I'm not putting Mike Benz down. Great guy, super smart, found a lot of stuff I didn't find. He's a great asset. Really a great researcher, the best. It's just very frustrating. Oh, we discovered that Epstein really worked for MI6 and the royalty and the Rothschilds. It was on record. He took over the operation from Ghislaine's dad. People find 15-year-old clips of me telling him that. Now everybody's like, oh, God. And I'm like, Trump's not screwing underage girls. He's not getting pissed on by hookers. But because it's all these rich people, he covered it up. So he thought it was better for the economy. Then they set you up, Trump. So now you see. But I understand the pragmatism of Trump. Doesn't mean I agree with it, but I understand the thought process which needs to end. Justice be done though the heavens fall, because then you're not held captive by this. So let's play the clip of Mike Benz breaking this down that ties into the CIA coup. All the stuff that's coming out. Here it is.
This was CISA's Office of Mis-Dis and Malinformation. They specifically say domestic threat actors for the DHS Office of Mis-Dis and Malinformation. As you'll see right there in the archive at the top, it says CISA.gov/MDM, misinformation, disinformation, malinformation. Now, Benny, as we speak, this office was around for two whole years, from 2021 until 2023. When basically...
Oh, hit pause. I want to explain again. Back it up 10 seconds. This is the Obama office they set up that everything nexts us out of. I know for regular listeners, you've heard it literally 1,000 times, but my point is when I told Trump this, he didn't listen. When Mike Benz tells him, he listens. So this is the heart of the coup that's trying to run the current coup. Let's continue.
Now, Benny, as we speak, this office was around for two whole years, from 2021 until 2023, when basically, I don't mean to brag, but my foundation published a series of reports about it, and then they shut down the website and renamed everything. This was around for two whole years. This was, now the Disinformation Governance Board was not formed until about April 2022. This was around since January 2021, the very first week that Biden took office. The CISA's Countering Foreign Influence Task Force, which was supposed to stop the Russians, which was repurposed to stop Trump in the 2020 election, quickly changed its name from the Countering Foreign Influence Task Force to the Office of Mis-, Dis-, and Malinformation, where it was no longer legally and in terms of its charter confined to foreign influence. Because as they said, 1 month before the 2020 election, they wanted to switch their focus to 80% domestic, 20% foreign.
I think we talk way too much about foreign influence. I'm going to be honest. The truth is that the vast majority of these problems, of kind of the problems in our information environment, are domestic problems. We have like an 80-20 breakdown of 80% we talk about foreign and 20 domestic. I think that needs to be flipped.
Now, I bring this up because the second link that I put in the chat, you'll see it's the hawley.senate.gov link. This is from June 2022, and this is Hawley and Grassley. These were the documents that ended up blowing up the Disinformation Governance Board. If you click on that thing that says documents, what you'll see is a 31-page PDF, which to this day, over 3 years later, represents the sum total of internal documents we have related to the Office of Mis-, Dis-, and Malinformation. What I want to know is why the hell do I have more information about the Office of Mis-, Dis-, and Malinformation and who they targeted as domestic threat actors from the minority Republican Senate? Remember, put yourself back in the summer of 2022. You had a Democrat president, a Democrat control of the House of Representatives, and a Democrat control of the Senate. And we had more transparency about DHS's Mis-, Dis-, and Malinformation office than we've had in 10 months of actually having control over the executive branch, actually having control over the House of Representatives, actually having control over the Senate. Why is nobody at DHS publishing these? I want every internal file. I want every email correspondence. I want every text from a Office of Mis-, Dis-, and Malinformation government employee on a DHS phone to be in a WikiLeaks-style, ODNI JFK file-style DHS.gov database where now and for centuries evermore, we have a detailed internal forensic reconstruction of the effery they did inside DHS during those years. So we can name and shame the appropriate people so that we can hold this up in the court of public opinion and say never again. Are they asleep? You know, did they not, has the snooze button been on for 10 months? Do they not know it exists? It bothers me that we have more transparency from one whistleblower 3 years ago when we were out of power than we have from nominally tens of thousands of people at DHS under this executive branch while we have the executive branch power. And I say that not just about the Office of Mis-, Dis-, and Malinformation at DHS. I just published this video on George Soros, State Department cables that I found going into the WikiLeaks archive, from 2010. WikiLeaks published State Department cables, that dated from 1973 to 2010. Now these are just from a handful of ambassadors and State Department folks whose records ended up getting leaked to WikiLeaks. And I was able to reconstruct dozens of transactions and global investments by the Soros Management Fund that were intermediated by the U.S. State Department. George Soros and his older brother, Paul Soros. I have more transparency about the Open Society Foundation's relationship with the State Department from Julian Assange 15 years ago than I do from my own State Department today. The Open Society Foundation weaponized that relationship with the global transatlantic foreign policy establishment to meddle in domestic politics while hiding behind a shield of secrecy with the U.S. State Department, with USAID, with the Central Intelligence Agency. And to this day, we have zero disclosures. Benny, why has not a single cooperative agreement from USAID been made public? Can I ask that? We know a lot about the contracts that have been cut, right? A lot of the funding to USAID. And what you get are one-line descriptions. Well, this was funding a transgender dance festival in Somalia. Okay, cool. First of all, these grant descriptions are never what they say. You get a one-line description in usaspending.gov, and then everything else is under national security or foreign policy. It's you just can't get access to it. And I give the famous Zunzuneo example where, you know, you had this USAID building a CIA social media platform in Cuba, but the USAspending.gov grant description was for humanitarian relief in Pakistan. It's totally random what the grant says versus what it actually does. But every single one of these dollars is accompanied by a cooperative agreement between USAID and the grant recipient with the actual details of what they're getting paid to do. And not a single cooperative agreement between USAID and the Open Society Foundation or the Omidyar Network or the Gates Foundation have ever been made public. None of the quarterly reports, none of the annual reports where they report on their milestones. Here's what you paid us to do. Here's how it's coming along. Here's, you know, our success. Here are the people that we're talking to in network. None of it. I need to go back to hacked records from 15 years ago to do that exercise when nominally you've got the president's pick of personnel at state and at USAID.
All right, so let's stop right there. The point is, I've covered this probably 1,000 times, as you know. It's all there. We know the same group's trying a coup now. The National Guard's been, you know, shot up. All this is happening. They know what they're doing. Why do we sit here and fight the attacks they run? But because the Justice Department's a bunch of wimps and a bunch of lawyers that are scared. Because the Democrats are on TV saying, when you get back in, we'll put you all in prison. They're going to do it anyways. And I want to let people that are on the fence here that are worried about the bad guys, you're not going to win in the end. You see the stuff in motion. It's a fourth turning. Populism, revolution over the world. You're not going to get out of this. So I'm not threatening you like these Congress people. I'm just saying, stop serving evil. So I talked about the analogy of Wrath of Khan, where, you know, the super nuke's going to go off. If they don't get to warp speed, they're going to get killed. People have to make sacrifices. I don't mean violently. You don't have to die like Spock. You've just got to support and spread the word and make it the main issue instead of a side issue. This isn't some entertainment genre. This isn't some LARPing or fantasy football. This is the real world. Here's Wrath of Khan.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
No response, Admiral.
Scotty. Mr. Sir, get us out of here. Best possible speed.
Aye, sir.
Are you out of your fucking mind? No human can tolerate the radiation that's in there.
As you are so fond of observing, Doctor, I am not human.
You're not going in there.
Perhaps you're right. What is Mr. Scott's condition?
Oh, I don't think that he...
I'm sorry, Doctor. I have no time to discuss this logically. Remember.
Sir, the mains are back online.
So it's cheesy, but it's a real analogy. It's not your communist giving yourself up for the collective. You make the decision to do it. And the whole country, the whole world goes under tyranny and is dead. If people don't get over, oh, what will my neighbors say? Will I get debanked? Will this happen? Folks, you're going to lose everything. You should be way worried more about what happens under the globalists instead of sitting there playing these games. It's over, folks. We're down to the wire. Decades ago, and I've said this tens of thousands of times, for 30 years, I bet on you. I believe in you. I believe that you're going to win because God works for you. But you have to make the decision to stand up against the tyrants. And it's real simple. It's a decision you have to make about what side you're on. Like spreading the word about this broadcast or praying for the broadcast or financially supporting it. I love being demonized. I love being attacked in the service of truth. But at the end of the day, they have pushed me all the way back against the wall. And the only way we stay on air, the only way we continue to fight is you. It's that simple. You decide. You're the ones that hold back the enemy. You're the ones, while we do this work, that literally hold off the enemy with your financial support. And we make it easy with amazing products that empower your life at TheAlexNewsWar.com. It's so true. It's so obvious. And I got to tell you, man, that's what they're scared of. Tens of millions of listeners a day, conservatively, less than 1% ever buy anything. Can you imagine if 5% went and bought products, TheAlexNewsWar.com? Can you imagine if people watched this by the tens of millions and they thought, I'll actually go somewhere. I'll actually buy a T-shirt or a ball cap or a supplement. I'll actually do something. Can you imagine? Seems like a little step, but why can't you make it? It's not a little step. Actually praying for this broadcast, sharing the articles and videos, which a lot of you do, way more than 1%, but actually going and buying the Shilajit or the Irish Sea Moss or the turmeric or any of the products, Ultra Methylene Blue, the best product out there, the best methylene blue there is, that changes the world. It's great for you, but it also changes the world. And it's so simple. It's a microcosm of taking action, of running for office, of voting, of raising your kids right, of all of it. But if you don't bet on the people that have the best track record of taking on the globalists and kicking their asses, you're insane. So on the day after Thanksgiving, I want to salute you all and thank you all for your support. I want to thank the great crew for all the great work they do. And I just want to encourage all of you out there to make the right decision now and get in the game, be the man and woman in the arena, and go to TheAlexNewsWar.com. Become a VIP, $30 a month. Get $40 instantly spent in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Everything else, the Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. TheAlexNewsWar.com. Now, General Flynn with his emergency warning coming up. Mark Mitchell, the top pollster. Emerald Robinson. Dinesh D'Souza. This is quite a lineup today that you are about to see. And you're like, we already know all this. Okay, I get it. Then carry the ball. Share the live feed now. Share the clips. Share the articles. Get it? You're the whole shooting match. Take action now. Share the live feed now.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. It's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effect that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Our beloved republic, 250 years old, stands at the crossroads of destiny. The same globalist BlackRock Obama John Brennan coup that's been absolutely exposed, trying to overthrow our republic, is now trying to launch a military uprising that will come after some catalyzing false flag event. Now, General Flynn, the former head of Defense Intelligence Agency, has been warning of this. I've been warning of this. And there's really few others that have studied or understood it for whatever reason. And who go read the Podesta plan and seeing them execute every piece of it. So the focus is on this statement telling the military, you know, don't follow orders, basically. You could argue that's free speech, but not who produced it, not who gave them the script, and it's Brennan, we know, and then they now admit they were given the script. And it's this continuum of Crossfire Hurricane and Arctic Frost and all the fake impeachments meant to undermine a duly elected government. That is treason. That is seditious conspiracy. That is illegal. And Trump, as General Flynn has said many times, has a special oath that no one else gets because he's the only person elected by everybody. The whole nation votes on him. Protect, preserve, and defend. Preserve. He doesn't have a right. He has a duty to execute. And now as it becomes existential, that people know this is very serious, and we see Comey and Letitia and all those scams getting, you know, getting them off so far, that this is game time. So we have a plan. General Flynn has a plan. We were literally simpatico during the break. Finish each other's sentences of what needs to be done, what must be done now. So General Flynn, you've got the floor for the next 20 minutes. I know you got to go after that. Thank you so much. And again, you finished my sentence. Okay, it's cutesy. Do the turkey pardoning. We need a national address, General Flynn.
Yeah, so let me just tick off a number of things here, because as I was preparing to come on your show, and this is very, very serious, and it is exactly what you've been talking about for a long time. I've been on your show a number of times saying these things, frankly, for the last year, and what all the American people are starting to realize is that this is getting very serious. The opposition, the left, in our country, now with this seditious six. So just a couple of things here, because I think people need to, we need to remind ourselves of the things that have already taken place that are part of this color revolution that we are in the middle of. And, you know, you mentioned Crossfire Hurricane and Arctic Frost, but it's Russiagate, it's Spygate, it's Impeachmentgate, it's all the indictments between when Trump was 45 and now that he's 47. It's all of the attacks against all the lawfare that was going on after the stolen elections of 2020. And I'm telling you, Alec, just on a sidebar note on the stolen elections of 2020, there is so much damning evidence that we now have, because people like Tulsi Gabbard has stepped in and weighed in, and there are some other people that have now come forward. It's going to be very ugly very soon, and I know that the President of the United States is aware of a lot of what I'm talking about right now. We've had leaks, just these incredible leaks. Never mind this latest leaks from about the Witkoff and the peace plan between Russia and Ukraine. We've had all these wars, right, these loser wars, Ukraine and Russia, the one I just mentioned, the Middle East. I mean, the money laundering that has occurred from the Afghanistan war, what we are learning from Congress, members of Congress, about NGOs stealing millions, probably billions of dollars, and they're still getting paid for things coming out of Afghanistan. I mean, this is insane. The drugs, right? The fentanyl coming out of China. The illegal immigration to the tune of 20 million under the Biden administration. The human trafficking and the skyrocketing trafficking of children. The Epstein files, the Epstein affair. I keep saying the Epstein affair is not going to go away. The American, and Donald Trump knows this now. This is something that is an elite class of people that have done such damage to children. Never mind what they have done to the moral fabric of not only our country, but the rest of the world. The latest is the Seditious Six. They call it the Seditious Six. That's what you showed earlier when you had Stephen Miller talking to Jesse Walters there. So what do we need? We need a couple of things. Number one, we need the Oval Office to throttle, and I mean throttle down on this idea of information operations, and understand that we are in the middle of what is called unrestricted warfare. Unrestricted warfare is where it is boundless what you can do. And it comes out of, and you've talked a lot about this, Alec. Alex, it comes out of the Chinese manual back in the late 90s, you know, which I've read that a bunch of times. I've written a manual myself on fifth generation warfare. It is unrestricted warfare is without bounds. That is what we are in the midst of right now. And everybody needs to understand that. So
you're talking full spectrum war.
I mean everything. You're talking about the idea of illegal exploitation of different commodities, human beings, drugs. We're talking about false you know action and false flags when it comes to economic warfare, right? You say you're going to do something and you do just the opposite. It's the whole idea about using the information like TikTok. Trump will sit there, and I hope he's listening to this. Trump will sit there and go, G and I just had a great call, and we're going to do the following things. Well, when Trump hung up, he has a duty, which he does. He tells the American people, G and I just had a great call, and we're going to do all these great things, and we're going to have trade deals, and we're going to do TikTok and blah, 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 and we're going to 600,000 students for the next couple of years from China. Xi hangs up and tells his team, great, we got exactly what we want out of them. We're going to triple down, we're going to quadruple down, and we're going to continue to screw the United States of America. That's how they operate, Alex. They don't operate like Donald J. Trump operates, because he, as you said, he does have a duty to preserve the Constitution of the United States. He has a duty to inform you know, our country and the people of our country, because we're a democracy, we're a republic, and he's trying to be as transparent as he can be. But trust me, we are not dealing with an even hand here. We're not. These people that are operating against us, never mind the drug cartels and all these other actions that are happening inside of our own country.
And so I want you to get to the Sedition 6 and Miller pointing out from the CIA sources that it is a CIA op with John Brennan behind it, but something you said.
I said this. Yeah, go ahead.
Something you said that was so key that I don't want to just glaze over, because I was going to come on the show and start with this today, and then I forgot. I'm glad we didn't talk. We're simpaticos. We're looking at the same information. People are saying, oh, well, the Democrats might win the midterms. They're not going to launch their full Podesta plan, uprising, riots, collapse because of that. No. Their money has been massively cut off. All these new scandals are coming out. Trump has actually gotten some good people in there. All these whistleblowers are coming in. So they're cornered. They have to make this move. And this, don't follow the orders of the commander-in-chief ahead of this big event they're going to stage, that the CIA elements that are good have now warned Trump. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is their back's against the wall. This is coming to a head. Am I correct?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, their backs are against the wall. They are not about to like roll over. Okay, folks. Okay, everybody out there in that's listening to InfoWars or anywhere else that gets this. These people will not roll over. They will come up with the next plan and the next plan. They are following their plan to the letter. And what we need to do is we need to recognize, number one, they have a plan, and it's being, you know, put into place. This seditious six, these people, you know, what caught my eye was not that there was military people, it was this CIA, former CIA officer that's now a member of
a protege of Brennan, a protege of Brennan.
Yeah. And so I'm going to talk about John Brennan here in a second, but this, that caught my attention because I was like, wait a second. This is different. It's not because they were telling military people you can't do the following things, you should disobey orders. I mean, the people in the military know this. They know this. What caught my eye and caught my attention was that there was somebody from the intelligence community. And I think Stephen Miller rightly picked up on that as well, because this is a seditious conspiracy. They had to have gotten together in order to create this message and then to put it out the way that they put it out. So I don't want to just focus on that, okay, because I think that is one tactic, one element in a wider color revolution.
And that's how the controlled DOJ is going to sabotage, is only focusing on that statement. Instead, we now have another congressman who didn't end up being part of it. He admits, oh, we were given a script. By who?
Yeah, by who? By who? So here's what, so what do we do? Now, let's talk about what we do, right? Because the President of the United States, we're getting ready to go into the Thanksgiving period here in the United States of America, right? The President, I believe, if I was standing in the Oval Office there with President Trump, I would say, I think it's time now to basically address the nation. I think President Donald J. Trump needs to address the nation and tell us what we have been talking about. So the people of the world, because it'll be, if he addresses the nation in a very important way and in a very smart way, and believe me, it's not just to the American people, it'll be to the world.
I was about to say, the message to Putin and Xi and Nicolas Maduro, if Trump does that, they know, oh my God, they're addressing the coup plan instead of fighting the different permutation psyops. You don't do that. You go to the heart. You don't kill a Hydra attacking the heads. You go to the heart.
You go to the heart. And this is what I'm talking about. So it has to be very smartly done, whether he does it tonight or whether he does it, you know, in the next couple of days. President Trump, you need to address the nation on exactly what is happening. And you also need to address the nation on what you are doing about it. What things you have directed.
Yeah, not a one-off like, oh, it's another Russiagate, or oh, they're full of crap. He needs to sit there at the Resolute desk like it's a biggest deal
ever.
Yeah.
Lay it out. This is countering unrestricted warfare now. We are in the midst of a color revolution. President Trump, you need to let the American people know that you recognize what we're fighting, what we're up against, that you have directed key members of your team. Because one of the things that I wrote down here today is that I actually, because of this CIA issue that's bubbled up, he needs to direct John Ratcliffe. And I mean, I would every day be on his ass.
Order him.
Direct John Ratcliffe to immediately get in there inside of the agency and figure out who's doing what. I haven't heard, we haven't heard bleep out of CIA Director Ratcliffe. I have not heard about any of the reforms going on in there, and I don't think there's anything going on. So I'm speaking for myself. But if I were President Trump, if I were advising him, I would sit there and I'd say, you need to direct your CIA director to get to the bottom of this, because these are people inside of the agency.
Because this is the ongoing thing from Brennan and Obama, exactly. So let me ask you this.
So now let's talk about John Brennan. Because that's where I'm heading to, because that's like when you say we finish each other's sentences. So John Brennan, you know, who's the culprit? Like, who's behind it? Who's the operational commander running the color revolution, this coup d'etat that is continuing to ongo here against the United States of America? The guy who is at the head of it is John Brennan. And John Brennan, and I hope he's listening, because he knows exactly. Sometimes when I put stuff out, I get all kinds of hate mail. President Trump actually could and should bring this guy in immediately. Put him under the lights and have him answer questions about what he's been doing. Now, let me tell you what I know that he's been doing, okay? John Brennan has been colluding with with people inside of our government. Okay. What I just said is very damaging and very damning. So inside of our government, he's been colluding with people outside of the government that recently served in our government to undermine not only President Donald J. Trump, but to undermine the United States of America. So, play that again a couple of times, folks. Go back, you know, finger back on that one and listen again to what Mike Flynn just said. Because what I just said is a very true statement. Donald J. Trump needs to address the nation. He needs to get his team in prior. And he needs to go out. He needs to go through with them. I want to know everything that you're doing to get after these issues. I mean, we see some of the things that Pete Hegseth is doing. We see some of the things that Tulsi Gabbard is doing. We see not enough of what's coming out of the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice.
Hey, just like they would brief us about a war we're going into. This is the most important war since 1776 or the Civil War. We need constant addresses to this to point out why these attacks, why this undermining continues. You're absolutely right. So, General, do this. Just spend a few minutes here. I want you to have the floor in the few minutes we have left. Because I know Miller watches. I know. I'm going to leave it at that. And he's a speechwriter, and he's got Trump's ear. Just spend a few minutes. What are the main topics Trump, if you were President Trump, I think he should have you Resolute Desk, then have an informational like he did with the South African farmers when they denied they were killing people. He had the president there to show him a 5-minute video. This is easy. He does a speech, then he has you address people, Hegseth, Tulsi Gabbard, and that's what America wants, is that leadership to know which team we're on. This is key in the battle space. What are the points he would make up front to the American people?
Yeah, first of all, we don't expect President Trump to understand and know everything, okay? We don't. We just want him to do the right things. So, first of all, he needs to lay out what is happening, what is going on, and I mean in clear terms, kind of like what Stephen Miller just laid out briefly there with in that segment that you
showed.
That's
what I'm saying. It needs to be you. You're the top expert. Miller's listening to us.
What is happening? What's the full scale of what is happening that he now recognizes and his team now recognizes? What's the full scale? The second set of things is, here are the elements of what we currently see happening, you know, by this adversary that is running to take over this country. He needs to lay that out to the American people, because we all kind of see it. It's all in bits and pieces all over the internet. That's the age of information that we are in today. You're not going to be able to hide anything. So he needs to lay out that he recognizes what we recognize, so we gain a measure of trust in him that he understands and he knows what he's talking about. That's number one. The second thing is, here are the things that I have directed my team, and he needs to have them right there. And I'm talking about his national security team, his economic team, his close-in advisors. Here's what I have directed my team to do immediately. Number three, he needs to say, these are the steps, top three, top five, whatever. These are the steps that I expect to have done in the next 30 days. And if we don't have that done in the next 30 days, I will then come back to you and let you know that we are not going to get to that, or we're not going to be able to accomplish it all in 30 days because it's bigger even than I can see right now talking
to you. But
he's
reading us in on where we are, what they're trying. Exactly. And it's his duty.
He has to.
And so I'm thinking maybe the cabinet meetings he's been doing that are public, maybe that would be a good forum or just Resolute Desk.
No. This can't be a couple of cameras, you know, asking a question here and there.
Huge production.
This is a huge production. This is an address to the people of the United States of America. And President Trump knows this. If he speaks to America, he's speaking to the freedom-loving world.
And America wants to get the orders that we want to be mobilized.
Exactly. We want to know. And then, because that's the last part of what he has to address, Alex. What he's got to address is, what do I want you, the American people, to do? Okay? Because I get that question probably 50 times a day. What do I do? What do I do? What can I do? And I go into my, you know, local action, national impact spiel about, you know, get involved in your local
community. He has to activate the people.
Donald Trump he's the commander in chief. He's the president of the United States. He's the chief law enforcement officer of the United States of America. He's the only one that states the oath and uses the word preserve. When we talk about taking the oath, we talk about, you know, defend and protect. He talks about preserve. Defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. So he's got this duty to do this. So he's got to say kind of the what's happening, you know, what I have directed. And now here's what I need you, the American people, to do. And we will get behind him. There's no one. And you said this earlier, and I'm like this, Alex. If I see something that Trump is not doing, you know, that I don't like, I'm going to say it. I'm going to be public about it. And I am. And I also let behind the scenes know that, hey, what the hell's going on here? But I'm telling you, you know, there's not going to be anybody that's a bigger champion than me and said, I'm going to go, you know, fix my golf handicap. It sucks. It sucks because I have
well,
not
it's on
given
record.
Up.
They came to you, they came to Roger, they came to me, and they said, just turn on Trump, we'll stop the prosecutions, and we didn't do it. The bottom line is this, it's existential. We're not just talking about some side issue. If Trump mobilizes the people, explains this all, calls for them to understand the Democrat coup plan, then they are defanged right there. It must happen, Stephen Miller. Trump, you must do this. This is victory. People don't care about the side issues. They know we have a corrupt system. They want to be mobilized with the information. They want to be directed by you. You must activate the power of the people in the information war, and we will save the country and the world. We are at the precipice.
Yeah. Last thing, you know, he needs to quit going and he quit saying things like, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I've told the DOJ to do this or that. Stop that. Stop that. Tell us. Tell the American people what it is that you want us to do. Tell us that you understand what we understand, that we are in the middle of a revolution, of a takeover of this country, because that's what it is. And, you know, and as I said earlier, I think he needs to call in Tulsi Gabbard. He needs to call in Susie Wiles. He needs to call in John Ratcliffe and all the other members of his intelligence community, to include Pete Hegseth, who runs the largest part of the intelligence community, and say, I want everything in 1 hour about what John Brennan is doing. I want to know where he's at, and I want to know everything he has said in the last 30 to 60 to 90 days.
And we got, like you said, we got to have deadlines. We got to have deadlines.
Then bring his ass in. Bring his ass in. The U.S. Marshals Service needs to go arrest that man. I'm telling you, I'm past the nonsense stage of my life. All these other great things that the president's trying to do, fine. But there's a lot of things that need to be done to get us over the hump of this.
If he doesn't stop their live coup when they've already tried five or six other ones.
We're one election away. One election. We're not one presidency. We're not one generation. We are one election. If we don't get this election, this next election right, he's done. He's done. And frankly, if he's done, we're done. You're done. I'm done. Roger. All of those who have been sticking our necks out here fighting for this country. And I'm just telling you. And you know what? And they'll have to take, it'll be one hell of a day that when that happens, we'll see what happens. But Trump, you have to take action. You're going to have to take action. President Trump. You know, sorry, you're going to have to take action now. Address the nation. Get it all out there. Tell us what we need to do.
He's ordered by his oath, and I believe he'll do it if he gets the right advice. I can tell you this interview is going to send chills down the spine of Brennan and others, because what you heard is the most important thing I've done in 31 years on air. General Flynn, how do people find your incredible work?
GeneralFlynn.com.
All right. God bless you, sir. Have a great Thanksgiving, and thank you so much.
Happy Thanksgiving. See ya.
Wow. That was hardcore, and it's all 100% true. We can all fuzz each other's sentences because we study this. And I guess I'm a weirdo, you know, that I study this stuff. But, I mean, it was very exciting. I was growing up and reading comic books and Conan the Barbarian and, you know, science fiction. I was a big, great, you know, by the time I was like seven, I'd read like high school level. And I just got into reading books on World War II and encyclopedias, and I was addicted. And we're here, folks. I mean, this is it. This is it. Listen, I just did an hour here. There's one variable in this fight. It's you. Do you share the articles, the videos, the reports? Do you download the free app and share it? Do you buy the products? I mean, you're crazy. Literally, do you think I tell you bovine colostrum, great skin, great hair, great libido, so we got the best? They just say that? Think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't work? You think I tell you ultramethylene blue is incredible game changer? Be careful with it. It's really strong. Do you think I'm just saying Irish sea moss is great and does all these amazing things? No, you hear the callers. It changes their lives. My information is cutting edge because I don't want to be the liar. I want to be the guy that's right. I enjoy it. In fact, it's my nature. I don't even have to do this. I can't stop. It's like George Washington said, I cannot tell a lie after he chopped down the cherry tree. It's not like I haven't like, oh, yeah, that dress looks okay, baby, or okay, I didn't cheat on you. I've lied plenty of stuff like that. I don't lie about freedom and people and things that matter. I cannot do it. And I'm telling you, our products are kick-freaking ass. They're the biggest sell ever at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want. That's why it's different. Normally it's buy one, get one free, the same thing. You can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. You can buy a $30 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. These are expensive supplements. We have the best, the strongest, the turmeric, all of it. It is the best. I want to be the best. If I was a race car driver, I'd want to be the champion. If I was a boxer, I'd want to be the world heavyweight. I mean, you know, like, this ain't hard. I run a restaurant, I want to be the best. Our products are the best. Energize me. I am in total commitment against these people. I am waging war against the most disgusting filth ever. And all I ask for is that you empower me in this war. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Hour number two straight ahead.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship. Get 50% off. And you cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months. However you set it, and then you just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
Mitchell, top pollster in the world, head of polling at Rasmussen, just had a big White House meeting. Very, very exciting that they're listening and can course correct because he's got his finger on the pulse and has called all of us. But some stations don't care that it's first five, so we'll go to him at six after, in just about 5 minutes. But I want to play a few clips here of the Epstein situation. It's totally blowing up in their face, implicating all of them. But they're like suicide bombers. They don't care if they can, through innuendo, still do stuff to Trump, they'll still do it. We've seen this over and over again. So here's these important clips. We'll also get into Trump coming out and saying, yeah, they're convicted of treason. This looks like treason. They get executed. That's where we are. So this is getting crazier by the minute. Here's these important clips. We'll come back with Mark Mitchell on the other side.
Again, this is Russia, Ukraine, everything.
I don't think this is the end of Donald. I am not.
Nobody thinks it's the end of Donald Trump. It could be the end for the Democrats. You're watching it happen in real time. I love how you say, you know, you look at Akeem Jarvis. Oh, it's just a fundraising email. As if it were a Republican, your party, the media would not interpret it in the worst light. For example, it's amazing how the brilliant Jasmine Crockett thinks there's only one Jeffrey Epstein, and that one Jeffrey Epstein somehow gave money to Lee Zeldin. No, I know this is hard to believe. There is more than one Jeffrey Epstein. Just as if there are more than one Jesse Waters, but only one Greg Gutfeld. He was a doctor who gave money. But she knew that, unless you think she is retarded. And I don't think she is. I just think she's deliberately pretended that she didn't know there might be another one. So when I talk about, this is what I say is the big worry about this thing, and I'm for the release of them. You look at how these idiots are going to try to interpret everything in the worst possible way. So if you're caught in that net and your name is Jeffrey Epstein or your name is Jesse Waters, something that could be easily checked out. I'm not saying you're in the files. I'm just saying there's a high likelihood you will be. They will be extremely malicious in their interpretation. So we have to be on our toes. I do think that, what's his name? Galloway. He's right. Be careful what you wish for, because when something seems too easy, it's a trap. And I think you just handed Trump a paintball gun and you put targets on the Democrats because, Epstein, I think 80 to 90% of his donations were all to Democrats. Epstein despised Trump. He was the only elite that wouldn't play ball with him. So, and then you look at like Larry Summers, you look at the, what is the billionaire? I can't remember. Reid Hoffman, look at Bill Clinton, you look at Akeem, you look at the Virgin Island lady. It's only begun and it looks bad for you guys. I think that this is going to be a fun winter for Trump, because once he goes in on this thing, he doesn't come out. He figured it out. He knows exactly how, when you guys bring it up, it's always going to go back to the Democrats every single time. And pretty soon you're just going to say, why did we do this? This is just like Russian collusion, but it's worse because now it ends with a huge, huge pile of mud all over us. The Russian collusion thing just went away. You guys were lucky you didn't go to jail.
I think mud is a generous way of putting it.
Should I have said feces?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Not your word. So here we go.
Are you in the files?
Yeah, my name was invoked. I'm not.
I believe that Jeffrey Epstein had information, and I was going to get information to get at the truth. Having a friendship with him is not something that I would deem to have. And so I'm just looking forward. I'm moving forward. And I think that that's what we as American people should do, is move forward. If individuals are not involved in illegal activity, extending his criminal enterprise or his financial enterprise or all of those things, I think that we need to look at what people are doing moving forward. Wait, let me just try to understand.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You are either with the Republic or against it. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
No, President Trump did not call for top Dems who called for a military illegal coup against him to be executed. He said if they're indicted, convicted of that, that is the law, they're the ones that tried to kill him. They're the ones calling for all the violence. That's where we are now. And we're not in a normal cycle here where, you know, there's no election happening right now, so things are normal. No, no, we're in a fourth turning globally. The global debt bubble is on the verge of collapse. Totalitarianism is going on all over the world. Trump is going against the globalist system, but Mark Mitchell is hands down at Rasmussen the best, most accurate pollster out there. He's nailed it all. The last few months, he's warned of real sliding poll numbers and nailed why it was. Mishandling of Epstein, mishandling of messaging on the economy. We don't need to see more, you know, gold-plated dinners with billionaires and all the rest of this. We need populism. And a lot of the policies are great, but the messaging is terrible. Now all the other polls and numbers show that. And again, Mark Mitchell, who was summoned to the White House after they saw his emergency warning on the show last week, met with the president, and many others. He can't get into all the details of it. But in general, this is really good news. They're aware of it. And I've even seen messaging changing since they saw the video over the weekend. It took them a few days to see it. And you already see Trump's, you know, talking about his poll numbers, admitting it. And in talking about messaging, and you also have Trump bringing Elon back and them, you know, not just bringing his guy from NASA back, but, you know, saying, oh, maybe we should bring Doge back. These are the things that really hurt Trump. Doge was electric. He had the highest approval ratings ever had during that. And Mark was here reporting that. So Mark Mitchell, I appreciate you coming on fresh back yesterday, from the White House. Honest pollster on X, RasmussenReports.com. I'm not going to get into your whole background, but you're not just a pollster. You've been executive at major companies like Walmart, e-commerce, Jet.com, JP Morgan Chase. You name it. So you have a lot of positions and backgrounds, and you're nonpartisan to be able to come up with your analysis that I think is dead on. A lot of times I'll have my own view of something, what's happening from just the street and everything, and I'll see your analysis. It's like simpatico. And so I'm really glad, though. I know that they watch a lot of stuff we do at the White House. And so I'm glad that this happened. So maybe we should talk about that event, your view on it, and then all the stuff unfolding, what Trump needs to do and more. So Mark Mitchell, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being a visionary, because you're looking around at what you see around you and seeing the same kind of things I am, and I can put numbers to them, but it was very gracious of you to let me talk. We talked for an hour and we laid the whole thing out. This is where we're at. This is the problems. This is what needs to be addressed. And I really do think that it was critical in helping me get my message across, helping me go down there. And for people who, you know, might have missed it, there are really two main concerns I have. One of them is about Donald Trump, and it's not that bad. His approval rating is underwater 4 points right now, which is really not bad at all. It's better than most presidents going back to Obama 1 at this point in the term. Now, it was a lot lower on election day. Especially among independents, it was negative 27. That was really bad. And so what I think I see the problem with is over the last 2 weeks, there was this counter signaling of the core base, the core MAGA voter, and this sort of misunderstanding of what I think the core issues are that are affecting the most number of Americans. And that's the fact that basically capitalism has turned into corporatism. The entire economy has been hollowed out. You have all these young people that have just been priced out of the American dream. And that was at odds with what Trump was portraying as, don't tell me about affordability. We're getting prices down. H-1Bs are awesome. We need all the Chinese students that we can get over here or else our colleges will implode. Things that were really upsetting the base, but not necessarily showing up in his numbers, but were things that, in my opinion, would have critically derailed the situation if they weren't addressed. So that was issue one. And then issue two is the fact that Donald Trump, in my polling, and not in the exit polling, because I think there's problems with them, had a lot of support last fall from independents and Democrats who crossed over to vote for him. 42% of his support in my polling. And then when the election happens, the off-cycle election, and those independents and Democrats don't turn out for Republicans, in my opinion, it's a harbinger of the fact that Republicans are going to lose big next year. And the polling says that people are not happy with the Republican Party right now. They think Congress is failing the president. The rating by independents of this Congress is freaking horrible, 9% excellent or good. And they don't have a plan for this impending wave of Democrat socialism. And so how do you get Trump, who's doing okay, to win with Republicans next fall, who are kind of like completely MIA on the core problems facing America? Because the issue is the Democrats have a product for this. It's called big government. The Republican product for this right now just seems to be kind of business as usual, traditional conservatism, and that's going to fail the youth. And we did a lot of polling on the youth. We talked about some of it on your show. I have new stuff that's even more crazy that tells you, in my opinion, who the under 40 conservatives are and why they're going into the arms of people like Nick Fuentes. These people don't care about free market libertarianism. They care about brutal order. So I was brought down to Washington, D.C. It was a great honor. I'd never been there in the White House before at all. And, you know, I had some meetings with people. I got to talk to J.D., Susie Wiles, Marco Rubio, and I got to talk to the president for a while. And I wasn't told not to say anything. Like, I don't know. I don't want to go too much into it. But also, I don't really remember it because I do this stream of consciousness like you do. This is my information. I want to give as much information as possible. And, you know how Trump is. It's also a stream of consciousness about the things that he's just surrounded with. I mean, my impressions are he's in it. He is trying to solve Americans' problems. He is getting information. He's intuitively, I think, making decisions based on that information. But this aspect of like there being a larger organized plan and that we're executing on something intentional, like I didn't feel like that exists. And I felt like maybe the subtext of why I was invited there was because they realized they need to get different voices because, quite frankly, there's this aspect of the youth that the White House doesn't really get. And I think they were getting a lot of that from Charlie Kirk. I think they're trying to find new voices to really sort of understand that.
I 100% agree. So let me, before you continue, give my emergency message to the White House and quantify what I think you're saying, what I see, and tell me if I'm wrong or add to it. We're in a revolutionary period, fourth turning. It's always driven by the youth. It's a mega turning. And they want action. They want reform. And so they're going to go to what is seen as extreme, a Nick Fuentes or a Mondami, and that they want to hear the narrative of going after the establishment, not endless parades of billionaires pledging to invest money here, which for a 79-year-old business tycoon, that's really delivering. And we've seen some numbers come out of jobless, going down and a lot of good things, even though he's swimming against the current. So for Trump, he's technical. He's like, hey, I'm working my ass off here, but he's talking to us like a 79-year-old titan. He needs to get the messaging to the youth that no, they elected you because they tried to kill you. You're seen as a maverick, an outlaw, a rebel, which you really are against the system. So get the rebel messaging going. I mean, literally, if Trump goes out and shoots up a case of Bud Light, by the way, Trump's never been seen shooting a gun. And I'm being serious. What the youth want. real issues he's delivering. He needs to go out and shoot automatic weapons. He needs to shoot cases of Bud Light. He needs to go on stage with Kid Rock and sing. I'm serious. That's what they want, and they also want indictments. They want real stuff. But that's what you're saying is that we're in a revolutionary period, and you know all the gold plating and all that you know, that's great for when the Saudi prince comes, but at the same time. You need to understand the fourth turnings here. This is a revolution. You don't want to look like an establishment person. No, you're the underdog.
Yes, I delivered that. His approval rating under 40-year-old voters was 60%. The week after he made that Napoleon Bonaparte quote about he who saves his country violates no laws. So that's where their headspace is at, and now they've turned on him. His approval rating among the under 40s is in the low 40s, 41-42%. And now they like Mamdani, 62%. And we talked about this on your show last week. You can't teach these people that they have to be conservative capitalists because it's failed them. Voters under 30 know nothing except Trump and the establishment. That's all they know. And they look at the establishment and they say, it's terrible. Why aren't you fighting this? It's the same thing that Tucker Carlson just talked to Nikki Haley's son about in that interview, which is pretty stunning. And so they want drastic action. And I kind of like laid out, it's like, it needs to involve the Republican Party. And so the way I kind of put it across was I think there needs to be like a fight plan for America. Because he had that powerful moment, but in my opinion, people are sort of projecting their own goblins onto that. And there was never really this intention to pull it together into some organized plan in which to deliver what America needs. And instead, there was this feeling that, well, they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to deliver reform. They're not sure how to do it intentionally, but they want to do it without breaking any eggs to make the omelet. Like, well, we really want to protect those home values. Well, the housing market has cracks now, and it would be a lot better for the youth if it collapsed. And I don't think that there's a way where this whole equation can balance and make everybody happy.
Well, sure, Bessette and talks about rebalancing. That's not just investment. Sorry, boomers. There needs to be corrections for the young people, or you're going to get a French Revolution on your hands.
I think, and I can back that up with numbers. So in my opinion, what that plan looks like is, listen, we do have an economic problem. Be very specific about what it is. Embrace the fact that it has failed the youth. And I would say prong one of that would be getting more jobs for them. It's great. We have an H-1B program. We should use it intentionally, but you have to acknowledge it's been scammed, and that's one of the big problems we have. Addressing offshoring, addressing all the ways that corporations have been screwing the kids, basically, you know, and also, like, older people are getting, literally everybody's getting the shaft by this because of the healthcare situation, right? Number two is brutal reform of the government. Get us back to DOGE, but people need to go through the visual process of seeing trust restored to our federal government. And I made the case. I said, you know, the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago. 53% of America told us the FBI is Joe Biden's personal Gestapo. And when you just put somebody else in charge of the Gestapo, it's still the Gestapo. We have problems with the CIA, the IRS. We have problems with the Department of Defense. Everybody forgets that now. We have problems with literally every part of the government. And there's no visible attempt to restore this trust to America. And then this third one I kind of focused on was this aspect of oligarchy and corporatism. And in my opinion, the goal would be to separate yourself from the oligarchy, not try to be the oligarchy. And they've increasingly done this. We polled on antitrust, and people hate the power that corporations have. Almost 80% of America thinks big tech is run amok. And there were forces in D.C. hampering our ability to do antitrust stuff. I think they've thrown off the shackles, and now the DOJ is going after some of these companies. But they are the enemy. Like, they are the people who perpetrated, this is the global homo kleptocracy. That's the problem. And the right has to fix it, or we're going to get a $10 trillion housing crisis bill. You talk, you hear Alyssa Slotkin out there today, who wants to declare a national emergency over housing prices. Well, the Democrats are doing that, and the Republicans are trying to pretend that everything's great. So what's going to happen? Who are the youth going to vote for? They're going to vote for the people that address their problems. And so the way I portray it is,
even though their plan will totally tank things 10 times worse.
The youth don't care. They don't want to hear about your socialism. You know, they don't perceive that they're the ones that spent $38 trillion in debt. And so if the system collapses, I think that's the subtext. The way I laid it out is like, okay, well, you have 3 years of the presidency. There's only 349 days or whatever until the election. And so obviously these problems are too big to fix in 1 year. But lay out what the fix looks like long term.
Exactly. He's got to give them a solution other than the Democrats promise all this free stuff we know is not going to happen. He's got to explain that's a fraud and say this takes time and then elaborate how his plan is going to help the youth. But here's an example. I asked the crew to pull up the thing on Putin chewing out corporate leaders in Russia, and they pulled up a spy chief thing. But there's so many famous videos of Putin who got very popular over this and had some success, calling in corrupt corporate leaders that were ripping people off, not hiring people, taking too big of profits, and saying, I will remove you if you don't do it. That is the most popular thing that the Russians loved. That's what people want to see Trump do. Not sit there and kiss corporate leaders' asses because they're investing or whatever. But literally the bad ones chew them out. The good ones thank them because we know Elon's doing most his investment now here. So we have heroes that are like Elon, but we also need to have villains that are corporate. And Trump's sort of doing this a little bit in the last few days, I think from your meeting. From the interview, he came out and said, you know, the big fat insurance companies are ripping people off. This is all a big scam, which is true. He needs to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like the messaging cue I would keep in my head. Fight, fight, fight for Americans. And so if a Trump truth comes out and it's attacking Thomas Massey, he might be a problem, but does it look like you're fight, fight, fighting for Americans? It looks like you're fight, fight, fighting your own party. And so I wouldn't even fight, fight, fight really the Democrats. Like obviously it's red meat to go after people who are doing open insurrection. But if he worked with Democrats to give a pragmatic solution to a problem that the youth have, that is really good. And so fight, fight, fighting for Americans might mean bury some hatchets and deliver economically somehow, right? And so I don't know what it looks like. But remember the first
term. How receptive
term,
was the president and who was most receptive? Well, I should ask the question. Who was smart and invited you to the White House for this emergency meeting?
The feeling I got is that everybody I was talking to was very interested in what I had to say and had already listened to some of it and that they really want to deliver on this. That was my feeling. Everybody was incredibly gracious and nice to me. Very impressed by everyone. And I literally just think it's this aspect of, okay, I have to be seen as delivering, need to put out an intentional plan and need to have message discipline where everything is sold to the Americans as being part of this. Yes, you can meet with the Saudi Arabian crown prince, but lay out how it's going to create jobs for the youth. And not defend the fact that 3,000 people are going to come here to, you know, for the factory. That might be well and good, but it's all about framing this as a solution for the American problems because the Democrats are going to win on this if the Republicans don't have an answer.
For the youth, because it's totally true. People go, he said we don't have the talent for the modern chips. Nobody does but Taiwan and a few others. And they are willing to come and give us the technology because Trump's leaning on them. That obviously they have to come teach us. People go, well, we invented computer chips. It ain't the same chips now. So technically he's right. He just has to be more specific instead of telling, you know, Fox News, well, we don't have any talent. He needs to be specific. We don't have the infrastructure or the engineers that can do this now, but we're taking back the technology.
Yeah. I think it would be very helpful to lay out an intentional plan that people could buy into. You know, put a website up or something that says, listen, this is what the Republican Party is going to deliver on. And, I talked to Steve about this, Steve Bannon, and, he helped me too. I did some good segments with him, and I went down there and co-hosted the War Room, had a really great trip with him. And apparently he was in the White House in the first term and was very specifically laying out a list of the things that Donald Trump had promised on the campaign trail. And what they were doing was spreading these lists of accomplishments. And what everybody was looking for in Trump was, will he be able to deliver as an outsider? And when these lists of actual objective accomplishments were being passed around, it validated everybody's opinions and it really juiced his base. And his numbers were horrible during the first 6 months of the Russian collusion hoax, but they came right back up after people realized he was delivering on things. And it's like Trump has done a lot now, right? But the way you look at how the White House is talking about it, they're putting out a meme about how it's a golden age without very specifically saying, no, this is the thing that we accomplished and this is how it fits into the larger scheme of things.
Instead of saying we're in the golden age, it needs to be a meme of a road and, you know, it says 30 miles away, but we're on the right road. You know, the road to Mondami and the Islamicists and total collapse and communism, you know, Bernie Sanders and Mondami over here and just rubble city, or this, but you're on the road. You're not there.
100%. And then when I was down there too, I also met with the RNC for a little bit, and I met with a conservative think tank called the Conservative Partnership Institute. Both of them were very gracious to host me, but again, I'm an outsider. I think that's one of the reasons that I'm able to do as well as I can as a pollster. And I think it's one of the reasons that we've been uncorrupted. But I also am learning a lot of this stuff for the first time as I see inside these organizations. And I think the Republican Party's got some problems. Like, I think it is hopelessly outclassed.
Yeah, and then you got all the white pillars that I go back to because they got mad when you came on last week. Why are you demoralizing us? That's all negative. No, you've been saying it for months. You've been proven right. So they see the interview, then they see it all appearing like magic in the news, and they summon you because, as usual, you were saying it before. We're doing this to save the country. We're not doing it to score points or have CNN play a clip of us, because they'll take a clip out. Oh, look, this respected pollster says Trump's doomed. Not doomed, but that's not our fault. They cherry picked us.
Yeah. Yeah. And there wasn't a lot of questions being asked of me at the RNC. Again, nice people. I was meeting them for the first time. I didn't get the feeling that there was sweat being broken or that there was any a special plan to change the way in which they do things or talk about
things. You didn't feel any urgency?
No. And I actually heard them talk about the off-cycle elections, and it was like, well, it wasn't that bad. It's blue states. Everybody expected us to lose. Kicked us back into our 2012 baseline. Well, that was like Romney. You probably don't want to brag about that. Yeah, and we have the right message, and we have the right ideology, and we
so
just
they don't even know we're in the fourth turning, total revolution.
Right, 100%. And now I went to this other Conservative Partnership Institute. I was very impressed. These people wanted to hear my message, and I gave it to them with both barrels, the whole thing. And it's like, you are on the cusp of losing forever. You know, because of these forces and the way in which your value set isn't adapting.
Well, that's key. The Democrats and in Europe, the same with any globalist power structure, they know there's a global awakening revolution. Their only answer is censorship, control, imprisonment. So they intend, because they're unpopular and their solutions won't work, to shut us down. So we're at the crossroads of conservatives get revolutionary, realize we're in the literal fourth turning war, and put the game face on or we lose.
Yeah, I think it's that easy. And, you know, what struck me is, again, I met a lot of people down there, but really there weren't very many people who wanted to engage with me on Twitter. And my account's not huge, but it's pretty decent. Like, I could have helped these people gain a lot of following.
It's also influential.
Their content.
It's also influential. Right. So, again, it shows they're not hungry.
Not only that, they are trying to avoid being purposely controversial because they're invested in the Washington DC system, which includes things like maybe someday having to be Senate confirmed. And I even think if that's like a canard, right? Because talk about the fourth turning, 60% of all of our national elected leaders are boomers, and it's probably even higher among the Republican Party. It's probably like 70%, and only 14% of them are millennials. Well, in 10 years, the number of millennials is probably going to be bigger than the number of boomers, just like retirement and death.
Because of death.
And so the politics is going to change very rapidly, and the people who are going to be confirming you are your peers.
And the young people are who, and Democrats coming over, and independents is what Trump wants, so he should be focused on them.
Yeah.
Mark Mitchell, I want to say that you said you've got new polls out. Stuff hadn't been seen yet. We're going to come back. You're going to have the floor here. And no doubt the White House will see this as well. So let's give them another briefing. In fact, I'm going to shut up when we come back because you get me going. I want to add and back you up. But just at least for 15 minutes or so, I'll ask you a question about that. You're going to have the floor. You're going to host when we come back. And you can tell us during the break what you want us to pull up from Honest Pollster on X. We'll be right back.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip. Get 50% off. And you cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you, you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish sea moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action. Taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone that is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Coming to you live from the InfoWars.com studios in the recaptured state of Texas, it's Alex Jones.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. We are launching the American Revolution 2.0. And at Cleveland in 2016 at the RNC, it was all over the news, a third of the T-shirts of the hundreds of thousands of people that showed up, in the arena and outside. We had InfoWars shirts on. We were number one, hands down, biggest English-speaking program in the world at that time, not just political. And I knew that, and the Democrats didn't know it. They flipped out. The Republicans flipped out. They said, well, we know you're popular, but good God, Trump, you know, called me up. Wow, what's this? You know, come meet with us. And so they really see this. And Trump's like, hey, I'm giving you a real revolution, getting us out of the carbon taxes, securing the border, you know, basically pulling out of NATO, ignoring the WF. Yeah, that's all really revolutionary. But when all we see is you hanging out with people like Larry Ellison and folks and Bill Gates, I have my finger on the pulse. Plus, I always have the same feeling. Oh, another dinner with Bill Gates. And you're losing massive support every time you do that. Now, people like Elon because he's seen as revolutionary, as maverick, and in many areas he is. If you want me to censor whatever else, I mean, look, but he's not just saying it, he's doing it. So I'll say it. And I already knew this, and I've said this since it happened 6-8 months ago when all this unfolded. But now Congressman Tim Burns has gone public, Massey's gone public. Not just Democrats, but Republican, deep state, permanent state, dark money drove out Musk. And so what has Mark Mitchell and myself been hammering? Bring him back. Not just because he's smart and Doge was kicking ass in the energy, but people liked it. They liked the you know, Justice League look of that. And so and even if Susie Wald's a good person, I'm not saying she's bad, you need to we need to see less boomers. I'm not trying to be mean. My parents are boomers. We need to see less of that, and we need to see literally more of you, not just at NASCAR, but driving one. Because you're already doing the real policies. But I'm telling you, Trump, go out and fire automatic machine guns. Trump, go shoot skeet. Trump, shoot up cases of Bud Light. I'm not kidding, because it's not like the young people are dumb. And I'm going to just say this and go back to Mark Mitchell. This is what it's all about. And so do that, and of course get some more indictments. People want real delivery of stuff, but that's more the middle-aged boomers and people. The young just want that because they see it as revolutionary. Like Mark said, when you start talking about your Napoleon quotes, the left all freaks out on you. People love it. Okay, people want action, action, action. So I think he got that from your meeting, where he's talking about where the Democrats are wanting to overthrow the government and saying his lawful orders are illegal, that they want a military coup. And he says, well, if you get convicted of that, you get executed. They're all misrepresenting it now. But I'm guessing the young people are going to like statements like that, Mark Mitchell. Am I right? Please continue.
Yeah, absolutely. They want their interests put first. And in their view, the system is failing them. And I can back all of that up. But yet, like, this is a problem because there were still things like Bret Baier mentioned in the conversation. I'm like, oh, sir, everybody hates him. And it was like, oh, why? You know, he's still very focused on Fox News. And I said, well, because he stole the election from you and half of your supporters canceled cable on November 3rd, 2020. And I joked about this before the trip. I said, you know, like maybe these problems would go away if they just pulled Barron Trump out of college and made him deputy chief of staff down there. And actually, kind of in retrospect, like, I agree with what you're saying. I also think it could be as simple as just go on Rogan again and have a discussion about it, because that was a very powerful part of the campaign. People were like, listen, Trump is willing to engage in a dialogue about the things that I'm interested in. That's really great. And I think that's one of the reasons that he basically tied among younger voters, you know, depending on which of my poll you look at. But this is a fourth turning thing again. And like what you're saying is it's the traditional DC values of the Republican Party, who are mostly the people that surround Trump, are all of a sudden now being shattered. And I have two examples, one in polling, one of which I think tells us who these young conservatives are. The other is a fourth turning thing. And I said this back a month ago. I said, you know what? The absolute worst thing you could do with Nick Fuentes is exactly what you're doing now. You're clutching pearls. You're acting like the bad guy from Footloose. You're acting like leftists trying to cancel Tucker Carlson. And it's gotten to the point where pretty much I think most people acknowledge that it's about a coup in the Republican Party. You have Breitbart running stories about how the Bush wing is trying to reassert itself over MAGA.
Oh, no, man, I said that months ago. Through Israel, Israel sees a vacuum, Democrats in trouble. The Israel lobby with neocons is trying a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. And does Trump even know that?
Well, that didn't really come up. But I think I used it as an example in the group without Trump about how it's a harbinger of the fourth turning. I really can't remember. But we have two nights back out of three nights on updated Israel numbers. And so this isn't a published poll yet, but it's large enough to be a published poll. It's 859 U.S. likely voters. And when after October 7th, when you asked the tracking question, who do you support more, Israel or Palestine? Israel was plus 42. A month ago, in the beginning of October, it was plus 13 before all the Nick Fuentes stuff. Now it's only plus 6, and only 37% of Americans answer that question with Israel. And the age signal is appalling now. Already it was low 20s of 18 to 29-year-olds who supported Israel. It's 16% now. And even the olds went from 59 to 50.
So Israel's only flatlining, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. Finish with this thing. Get back to the other poll. Sorry.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. They're flatlining. They're dropping across the board. It's Republicans, Democrats, and independents. They're going to lose plurality support among independents soon if these numbers continue. Only like 53% of Republicans now answer Israel to that question. Now a third of Republicans say not sure. You know, they don't want to answer Palestine, but they don't want to answer Israel anymore. And this was the most obvious thing on earth, right? You pushed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these youth to watching Nick Fuentes now, and he's out there, you know, basically completing the prophecy of the horseshoe theory of politics, and everybody is calling him a national socialist, but not understanding that there are also people on the left who are looking for people on the right to signal cooperation. Because, well, you know,
I gotta say, Fuentes' biggest growth is in the left, which is wild, because they want solutions too, so they love the authoritarianism. Yeah.
Well, and then this gets us to what are the conservatives under 40 want? And we've talked about this on your show, how even the ones that voted Trump actually support major socialistic policies like nationalizing major industries, like excess wealth confiscation. Well, we just did a poll that we released, I think yesterday, about artificial intelligence. And what is really wild is that the young conservatives actually would support giving up control of the government to artificial intelligence. So this question, significant advancements have been made in the field of AI and data collection, causing some to suggest that AI will take a more influential role in society. Many Americans are unhappy with the effectiveness of federal and state government officials, agencies, and politicians. If AI continues to improve, would you support a proposal to take power away from most human lawmakers and instead give an advanced AI system the authority to control major majority of public opinion decisions? So only 41% of voters under 40 support that, but it's 55% of self-ID'd conservatives, and only 40% oppose that. So it's 55 to 40.
Mark, let me just stop you. I just heard like a car wreck sound in my head because I hadn't seen this poll. Now it's on screen. 55% of young conservatives want an AI dictatorship, which shows they're desperate. They're hitting any button. Mondami, Trump, Nick Fuentes, any of it. You know, some are good, some are bad, some are okay. But the point is, don't they understand it's going to be set up and programmed by elites and by humans, and the protocol can be changed at any time? I mean, that is totally insane. But that gives you an idea how reckless they are. My God, Hitler's better than an AI dictatorship.
Yeah. I mean, only 35% of independents, 55% of conservatives, a majority of Christians. Christians want this. Atheists do not. It's a desperate plea for order.
Christians, a majority of Christians want an AI God. That's the mark of the beast system.
It's the fourth turning. I don't know what to tell you. It's getting crazy out there. We asked about whether you wanted an AI.
Explain to people who don't know. I know you know. Most people know, but for those that are ignorant, they keep it, people on the street go, what's the fourth turning? People just explain it slowly to them. There's revolutionary periods every 78 years or so. There's mega cycles. We're in one of the mega cycles. It means the youth will now drive everything. Total change. The old system, some of it good, some of it bad. Regardless, it's getting destroyed. So now there's a revolutionary time where society goes from being basically in a hard state they call a liquefied state, where things should be remolded now. So those of us that are smart need to be out there engaging to create the new alternatives to sell the youth on that, to sell the future, so we don't get AI dictatorship or Mandani or Adolf Hitler. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you good job explaining it. It basically boils down to supply and demand for order. So after a crisis, there's a high demand for order, and society fills that vacuum and creates institutions and values that bring people together in a cohesive environment. That's like the 40s to the 60s. And then people kind of get used to it and branch out, become more individualistic, and the institutions start to decay. And then there's this unraveling period where you see, you know, we had our 70s, 80s, and 90s with stagflation and sort of the war on drugs and, you know, this idea of us projecting democracy everywhere, like turn into regional disputes and just sort of chaos. And then it becomes the crisis phase where it's the end and the music stops and the institutions fail. And if you looked around the country, I hesitate to name a well-functioning, strong institution that you know, uses its fiduciary duty and duty of trust to actually support its constituents or like point to one that works. You know, maybe the Supreme Court, like certainly not academia, certainly not most churches.
I mean, on average, the police have problems, but on average, that's a real service, fire department, you know, stuff like that. So what I just got from this, and your new poll, I think, is just bombshell. I said I'd let you have the floor, but it's just so bombshell I'm interrupting. And let's put that back on screen. That you've got young people that are obsessed with Peter Thiel and AI tracking them, but the majority of them want AI to be their dictator. So it sounds like Peter Thiel knows what they actually want.
Well, yeah, and you got Elon Musk leaning into this too. And I don't know how much of this is like a commitment to AI versus a desperate plea for help. Because these people also, again, remember, gave Trump really high marks when he was ripping the government apart. And there's an aspect of like law and order and punishment they want too. The 18 to 29 year old voters is the one that's most pissed off when you explain things like Arctic Frost to them. And we've got three different signals now where they want arrests, one for Arctic Frost, one for the AutoPen scandal. Oh, they want Judge Boasberg impeached and the Obamacare stuff. Like these people wanted arrests by more than a 2-to-1 margin. It was a 3-to-1 margin, I think, with the AutoPen scandal. This is the 18 to 29 year olds. So normally what you would have seen before is the people who are most following the scandals just 10 or 15 years ago would have been the people watching Fox News and the 65 and older crowd. They would have run to the arrests. Well, now it's the kids. And again, this isn't ideological, because the people who voted for Trump will, a lot of them, 35, 40, 50%, depending on which poll we did, say that they would support a Democrat socialist. And I think it's because they authentically see that democratic socialism has an answer for our problems. And it's more big government. And so I think they're at this, you know, juncture point where you have voters under 50 who are about to take control. They're evaluating all the different ideological options. They're willing to consider both parties. They have very little brand loyalty. They voted for Trump and Republicans. They'll vote for Democrats too. But it all comes down to who's going to fix their problems.
So they're up for grabs. And so you told Trump and the vice president all of this, but just recapping since you met with him yesterday, what other advice? I agree, a fight party. He has to not just call Mondami a commie. They need to actually come out and explain. Even Mondami now admits he can't get everybody stuff free. It's just ridiculous. They always just dangle. You're a smart guy, so I mean, I really want to hear this, and so does the president or everybody else. Does he put a task force together of different young leaders and smart think tank people like you, others? I mean, what does Trump need to do?
Yeah, I think he needs to fight for Americans against the system. You know, I'll keep doing the research. AmFest's coming up. There are probably going to be a lot of hot topics there where this kind of stuff will get discussed. But I mean, the window is closing, clock's ticking. The Republican Party probably needs a lot of help if it really wants to win the election next year. I think Trump embracing them working with Trump in order to get legislative victories next year would be great. I think the Epstein thing, you know, people, not sure, I haven't measured it yet. I think people are going to be okay with that. Independent approval of Trump is going up right now. That could be one of the reasons, because Epstein was a really big thing that tanked Trump's approval rating among independents. And Rich Barris was doing some polling in, I think, Virginia, and some of the things the young people were saying is, why did this happen? Why are we not arresting people? And ultimately comes down to fairness, order and fairness. The reason people want order is because they want fairness. And this entire system has not been fair. And it's most specifically been most unfair to young men. And so they're going to be in power, like, soon, right? Like, there's going to be a handing off over the next 5 to 10 years. But already you have all these forces, these institutions, these political identities that are clinging to power. And that's why we're at the fourth turning. Society is demanding order right now, especially the youth, and they're the ones that are going to supply it and build their own political system around their values. And right now, the boomers are fighting back, and especially over things like Israel. It's obviously not all boomers, but it's these traditional long-held beliefs that American society has had. This, like, foundational myth idea.
And people like Mark Levin and Trump, but he's not so much that, but, you know, some of the people around him. But Netanyahu, they're literally boomers that are insulated and only watch Fox News, and they don't understand, like, just leave the Israel thing alone. Israel, having the neocons and the Likudniks come in and try to bully everyone is the absolute perfect worst move. And, okay, Mark Levin, you get more attention and stuff, but you literally, Israel's the most unpopular country in the world now, and I understand it's not the only issue, so I'm not out to get Israel, so I'm just saying, guys, stop it. Then they attack me as an anti-Semite and say I'm Hitler, too. It's just preposterous. They just want to fight angry old boomers. And I'm like, sorry, dude, ain't doing it.
This is the clue that the fourth turning is here. This is young people rebelling against the old tired values. And I'm sorry it's about Israel. You know, I didn't make it that way, but they fought about it and it made things worse. It objectively made things worse. Probably had something to do with the Republicans' loss in the off-cycle elections. It certainly drove a lot of people to Nick Fuentes. Now he gets more views than Ben Shapiro does on a 14 times smaller channel. And if you look at things like, I just saw a Stanford Review article that claimed that 25% of the incoming freshman class at Stanford identifies as Groypers. I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, this is not something that you could, these people have valid grievances. You can't
and
just
the Zionist right wing, you know this, this is your rejection. You're being rejected as part of the power structure, and the more you do this, the more power you put into what you're doing by making yourself the center of attention and trying to hold on to power. You are going to make sure that you absolutely get destroyed, and in the process, really crazy stuff can happen when you think out second, third, fourth order. Other big issues, obviously, is immediacy. He has cut energy prices, but it's an uphill battle. I think even bigger, than the Epstein stuff and the censorship and the Israel lobby is affordability, right? That's the biggest issue?
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%, but you know how our system works as well as anybody. It's allergic to deflation, and deflation is probably the best thing we could possibly have. And I just don't see – we polled on affordability. We have another poll out there, and 81% of America is still super concerned about inflation. But the one that matters to me is that we asked a question of whether grocery prices are higher or lower than they were, I think it was a year ago, it might have been 6 months, and 66% said higher, and it was only in the low teens that said lower. And so he can focus on trying to address the affordability issue, but actually being able to, like, lower people's groceries in a meaningful way in which he gets political credit for that, I don't have a lot of trust that that's going to happen. And so, again, that's why I think it's very important to very specifically identify what the problem is. And this is this generational wealth and power imbalance. And coming up with a plan that invests those people in the solution and fix. And understanding
the boomers benefited from the inflation. I know you know this, but for people that are new listeners or Democrats that don't understand that. Or some Republican boomers, you benefited from the inflation, and now you're handing off the debt. It's very simple to the young people, and they're pissed off.
Yeah, that's it. And they're going to cling to everything, not just Israel. I think NATO is going to be up next. I think eventually the younger people throw off the yoke of NATO unless something major happens.
I agree.
I think entitlement reform is going to look a heck of a lot different in 10 or 20 years. We're probably going to have some tough questions about Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. I really don't know, but all of these things were basically, you know, the wealth of America was strip mined, and most of the wealth sits in that generation. And they're not going to be there anymore. So there's going to be a complete rebalancing of the way everything works. And
socialism
again,
works
we're
great.
In the beginning now.
Absolutely. Socialism works great till you're out of other people's money. But you, I know you already said this five times, but it's so critical for the White House and everybody else to understand. This isn't a regular election cycle where, oh, you fight over issues and the party, you know, that it's in power, goes out of power and you know, back and forth. This is the revolutionary point. Trump needs to be revolutionary, act revolutionary. And it's really that and articulate that I am the underdog. I'm fighting the whole power structure. I've got a beachhead, but I need your help and rally young people to help him and have groups of young people, you know, to the White House, you know, not just the perfect Republican, you know, guys with their bow ties or whatever and just get all sorts of entrepreneurs and you know, people in and celebrate that and really get in there with the youth.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. They can have their traditional elections, and they're going to get what they saw in New Jersey, which is Jack Cittarelli improved on his 2021 performance by, you know, 100,000 votes or whatever. He got more people to vote. They did register Republicans. They got Republicans to turn out, but he only converted 70% of Donald Trump's turnout from just a year ago, and the Democrats did way better. So the Democrats have a better machine. It's objectively better. They're turning out more of their presidential turnout in off cycles. Obviously, some of that's fraud, but that excuse doesn't work anymore unless you do something about it. Some of it's fraud, but some of it's their machine and the money they have that they're still getting. They're still laundering. And then the other is that they are embracing their youth. They have people like Mamdani. That gets people to turn out. So
the Democrats get smart and throw out all the Schumers and old people. They'll perform even better. Like, I almost hate even saying this. The more revolutionary they get, well, they already know it. The Democrats know this, Trump, so you guys better figure it out. Incredible interview, Mark Mitchell. Amazing. Honest Pollster on X. Everybody should follow you. RasmussenReports.com. 30 seconds. Anything else?
No, that's it. Rasmussen_poll, Honest Pollster. I did a bigger video about my trip to Washington, D.C. It's on my channel on YouTube. Everybody can check it out. Great to be here. Thanks so much for helping me get there. I never thought it would happen without that interview. And it's going to get crazy now, I think. So hope everybody comes and follows me.
Hey, I appreciate the listeners and folks that sent it to them. A great job, my friend. And it's heartening that the White House is concerned and listening. That's really good news. Thank you, Mark.
Yes.
All right. We got a huge guest coming up. Alex Newman, top globalist expert, is down in South America at the big New World Order World Government Confab. He's going to be joining us coming up from the center and then that big globalist event. And then Patrick Burns will be popping in with us. Remember, in studio with Big News, I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalist. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt, go get a ball cap, and then get the ultramethylene blue, get the Irish sea moss, and so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship, get 50% off, and you can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe, and then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you, you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world. They call up Mark like, oh, we saw your thing on Alex Jones. Please come up here right now. And quite frankly, I've already been invited to Mar-a-Lago in the White House a few times, but the things they invited me to are like confabs and I'll sit there and Trump will come over and say something and pat me on the head. Trump calls. He didn't invite me to dinner, and then for whatever reason, we didn't get set up. Me and Roger went. Roger's like, oh, yeah, okay, sir, we'll be there. And like, well, I'll let you know, Alex, Monday. Oh, dinner with Trump. Oh, you forgot to tell me. But the point is, I'm busy. I don't care. To talk to him for an hour or two, I'll go to the White House. It's not like I'm high and mighty, and I don't want to go do it. I just don't want to do it for no reason. You know, it's all of it. It's just, I was never into it, and I'm really not into it now. I'm into action, and that means being on air and talking to millions of you. That's who I want to talk to. TheAlexJonesStore.com is a huge sale going on right now.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalist. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt, go get a ball cap, get the ultramethylene blue, get the Irish sea moss, and so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship, get 50% off. You can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you, you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In junior high or high school, folks, this is not a beauty pageant. It's not what clique we are at or what table we sit at lunch. This is about philosophy. It's about ideas. It's about the future of humanity. And Trump, compared to the globalist, is night and day. We're still going to criticize him, as I said. And the reason we say this every segment is because this is the big fight. Populist conservatives are so holier than thou. And the left boosts people and promotes them. It takes me out of context constantly. I'm on CNN. People see me clip CNN, MSNBC, all the big things. Little clip out of context. I say, if Trump lets Todd Blanche prosecute Ed Martin and Pulte for doing their job, I'm done. But he's not going to do that. Notice they jump back and said, oh, no, we're not, even though they were trying it. And people get mad at Martin playing nice. Well, okay, great. The point is that we're not in a cult, we're engaged. So yeah, Trump's night and day. That's why we need to stay on his ass. And now you see my talking points that are accurate about the CIA coup going on, word for word from the White House now. That's what's happening. That's why you support us. That's why what you've done is so special. That's why I appreciate you. And to me, it really does make me like think, is this a simulation? Like the Total Recall, like I'm just plugged in and I'm the hero of saving America and the world. Because it's so weird, but no, it's bizarre. So Viva Fry, I love you, man. The truth is most people don't get engaged and change history, and anybody could do this. They just haven't gotten engaged. But in closing, everybody can feel something big's coming. Big stuff's already happening. What else can we do to try to save civilization? Because civilization's hard to keep together. It's not just something that operates on its own. The globalists want to collapse it. What do we do to secure civilization for our children and posterity?
Well, the arc of human civilization always trends towards tyranny. Freedom and democracy is the exception on the timeline of human history. What can people do? Maybe I'm self-interested in this. People can and must be constructively critical when they view mistakes happening. You know, I was saying before the break, that in today's day and age, people don't want to issue apologies because they get abused and used as a cudgel with which to beat somebody. But the bottom line is, when you make mistakes that have consequences that hurt you and your movement and what you care in, there's no shame in apologizing. And in fact, typically when you apologize, you're not doing it for the other. You're doing it for yourself and your own integrity. Trump can apologize. Trump can make amends. I thought maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene announcing her resignation for January is leaving a window open for amends to be made, but there is no benefit other than self-glamorization, self-gratification, being a yes man when you are yes manning the person that you should want to succeed into failure. And you know, the sycophants on Twitter when Trump was, in my view, making an unforced, bungled error over the Epstein files, saying, panic, and he knows what he's doing, 5D chess. These are our new marching orders, and, you know, you're no longer wanted if you remain true and principled to what you've been doing for the last few years. It didn't do any good. We're at the same place where we would have been had people issued the constructive criticism at the time and had it been heard a little earlier. So you're doing no favors by being sycophants. You're doing no favors by being yes men. And Trump is not the last savior. I mean, but Trump for the time being is the savior for America. Had it been Kamala Harris, Alex, I mean, Lord knows what would have been happening to you right now. Had it been Joe Biden, and, you know, the yes man, by the way, you know, just to draw that comparison, who yes man Joe Biden into dementia losing that debate. Yeah, a lot of people sat around and said, yeah, Joe, you're good to go, keep it covered up. And how did that work out? It doesn't work out.
But exactly. Freedom is the opposite of yes men. Science is about questioning everything. Life is science. Life is questioning.
Loyalty is making sure you don't let your friends make stupid mistakes, period. So be critical, be supportive.
Well, that's right. A real friend will come over and intervene when something bad happening. Not just, oh, I'm your friend, you go ahead and kill yourself.
Well, I don't know what I'd say. It's like, be supportive and be critical. And sometimes being supportive means being critical. Write that down.
Powerful. Viva Fry, thank you so much. Viva Barnes Law, Littles.com. Viva Fry, amazing. Thank you so much. And have a great weekend, Thanksgiving.
Yep. Happy Thanksgiving.
We adopt you. You're now an American. We need you.
Thank you very much.
Plus, the French help launch the country, so you're.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Hundreds of important stories that I haven't gotten to today. And you know why? Because we have the big, giant stories of another globalist, BlackRock, Democrat Party, CIA coup against Trump. And we got the White House and CIA insiders leaking that information. And we've got Flynn telling Trump national address to head this off at the pass. This is so important. They can't have their civil war. They can't have their Podesta plan. This is exposed. So I'm telling you, listeners, on the eve of Thanksgiving, I'm thankful to all of you that we're still on air. I'm thankful that you've supported us to be here still at this moment. God kept us here at this point, but God works through you. So this Thanksgiving, I am thankful to the listeners and the viewers and the supporters from the bottom of my heart. Now, I was talking to folks, multiple people that were in meetings at the White House 2 weeks ago and last week. And of course, they're like, don't source me as the person. That's how that works. Because they don't want to be attacked. And both of them said, and it wasn't some pro Susie Wiles tour, that Susie Wiles has done a good job in the election fraud task force,
that Trump signed an executive order, whatever it was, 6 months ago on, and that they have now, the government went in and checked transmitter cell phone systems in these things, not, multiple companies, everything Patrick Burns talked about, everything the big CIA whistleblower section chief came out with recently. And they have the machines, and now they're getting ready soon to bring that out. Now, I reported that a few weeks ago, and now Trump's come out and said, oh, a bunch is about to come out. Well, Emerald Robinson, very popular syndicated TV host, she's been working with a lot of these folks, and she's done a big, deep dive report on her X account, on her TV program, the Savage Queen of Twitter, Emerald Robinson, at Emerald Robinson. So I wanted to get her on about this particular big slice of the pie here, because this is a big, big deal. But first, because she's got her ear to the ground, what do you make generally about the Democrats and the Seditious Six and this whole plan? And now, for the first time ever, because I know a talking point when I see it, and it, the talking point, by the way, is true, instead of just having the Countering Foreign Disinformation Propaganda Act that Obama set up and the CIA countering Trump, Trump's starting to get some control, and now they've got all these talk show hosts on Newsmax, Fox, everywhere, coming out and saying, no, it's the CIA. We know they're behind it, trying to prepare the overthrow of the government and military mutiny. And we've known that, but now, finally, to have the White House and the Deputy Chief of Staff come out and address it, that has got to send a chill to the bone of Brennan, who's always believed he can operate with impunity. So what's your take on that and your intel? Then we'll get into the real central meat and potatoes here of your investigation and all your sources on election fraud. Emerald Robinson, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex. It's good to see you again. As far as that Seditious Six video, I do believe that's just a signal that it's go time for the coup that's been laying in the shadows anyway. I know you talk about this all the time, and I saw your segment with General Michael Flynn earlier today, and that was really great. I have heard, like General Flynn, that Brennan is really in operational control of the intelligence community currently, and that he's still a major problem. I think it's great that the Seditious Six did that video because it kind of forced everybody to admit what we've been talking about this entire time, right? That there is a coup ongoing. It's not that it ended in November of 2024. I just hope that the president really does something about it. I know that the Pentagon is investigating Mark Kelly, as they should, but he needs to be recalled and court-martialed to send a message. Because I think right now, based on what I've heard, and I know we talked about this a little bit on your show the last time, the Democrats have felt very emboldened. The uniparties felt emboldened because they don't feel like the Trump administration has been getting accountability, and they're moving forward with their plans. And that includes indictments against the president for treason once they believe they can take back power again, and against many of his officials or his associates on the outside. And these are for much more serious charges than we even saw in the 4 years of the Biden regime.
I can't say who told me, but let's just say they're in Jack Smith's emails and they had a plan to arrest tens of thousands of people, set up martial law. And that's why people think, oh, they'll wait and win the midterms. They're not going to move. No, there are frauds coming out. The mass theft, as Flynn said, is coming out. Hundreds of billions stolen in Afghanistan. It's all coming out. That's why they've got to make their move, because they're weak, which makes them dangerous.
They're desperate. They're very desperate. And especially as we now start talking more about how the election fraud is perpetuated, and I'm glad you're having me on to talk about this today, because I was a little more restricted about what I could share the last time I was here. And when General Flynn was talking earlier today about unrestricted warfare and a color revolution, fraudulent elections are the linchpin of that, right? They're absolutely essential to the unrestricted warfare that we've been in for, you know, years, if not decades in this country, that many Americans are just now waking up to, Alex. So, how that was thwarted in 2024, I hadn't been able to share it until this week.
Well, yeah, this is a giant investigation, folks. So I don't just type something. This is so huge. People in the White House call me, others about this, you know, and I missed your text this morning or last night. Hey, you never ask to come on unless you have something huge. I'm always asking you on. So this is a big deal. So preface this and why it's such a big deal. Let's walk through it.
It's a huge deal. just on the election, but how they stopped it, because it reveals how they conduct the election fraud. I have talked to dozens of sources about this election fraud starting all the way back in November 2020, Alex. While I'm talking a lot about what I learned in the last year and the dozens of sources that I've talked to in the last year, including whistleblowers from the Venezuelan government and Smartmatic, this was put on my radar in November of 2020, okay, how this comes out of Venezuela, how it was born out of Smartmatic, and how it's threaded itself through other voting machine companies under different names. But let's talk about 2024 and how it was saved. I have this in my thread on my X account at Emerald Robinson. I'm also going to be sharing this and adding to the story on my Substack, which is a little bit easier to read, at emerald.tv a little bit later today.
All right, so let's just start over and preface this. I'm going to put this up front. We're live now, but I'm going to take this and clip it out. Hopefully it goes viral. It needs to, folks. I remember days after the election having people, real people in high-level intelligence, I'm not going to say names, people can probably make guesses, saying, no, here's how we did it, we figured it out, Serbia, we just did some things, cut them off that day. People ask, well, then why were the Democrats able, clear fraud in Virginia, California, you name it, how were they able to steal it again? Because they moved it, they moved the operation. But that's okay. Yeah. Now we're going to target that as well. So this is now being released. This is coming out. This is being confirmed. This is how Democrats magically got 6-7 million less votes than they got the time before. This is the magic of how Biden got 8 million or almost 9 million more votes than Obama. Who believes that? This is how magically all those Democrat voters disappeared. You've been given, you've done the research, you've got the sources. It's now time for people to know how we overrode not the mail-in ballots, not the dead people voting, but the major electronic voting machine fraud. Right now, this is a mega global exclusive. Emerald Robinson, start at the beginning.
Yes, and remember that there are thousands of ways to cheat. We're talking about the specific voting machine fraud as it relates particularly to the battleground states. This started a few weeks, or the part of this story started a few weeks before the 2024 election in October. Okay. Senators Mark Dewayne Bolins and former Senator David Perdue, who is now the ambassador to China, had finally got a meeting for a man who had been investigating this for years, who knew exactly how America's elections were being rigged. They finally got him a meeting with Susie Wiles. The meeting happened at Mar-a-Lago. The man brought his presentation that went into great detail along with testimonies from the whistleblowers they had assembled. He gave the presentation to Susie Wiles. There's a fun little colorful aspect of the story that they shared with me. Susie digests it. She takes it in. She asks for a piece of cake. She eats it slowly, and then she says, okay, I think this needs to be presented to the one man that she knew that she could trust on this, or felt that she could, to verify if it was true, and that was Elon Musk. Now, that man who had this information, he spent about 3 days briefing a lot of people at Mar-a-Lago, but he did brief Elon Musk, and it's really fun when you hear how this all went down. The man goes to the residence that Elon Musk is staying at this time at Mar-a-Lago. He explained to me that Elon Musk is sitting on the floor. There's the children around. He is prepared to give this PowerPoint presentation to Elon Musk that goes into great detail about the players in Venezuela, in America, how the systems work, how the software runs, how they've done this, how it was developed by Hugo Chavez at the behest of Hugo Chavez, how it was successful in the 2004 referendum in Venezuela. They plan to take this global, which they did. Elon Musk didn't want any of that. He says he doesn't have time for PowerPoint presentations. He asked for the data. So the man gives Elon Musk a USB key. He inserts it, implements the data, injects the data into an artificial intelligence platform, which presents Elon with a, essentially what we call a one pager, right? A short summary breakdown of everything that was in that PowerPoint presentation. Elon looks at it very quickly. He gets on the phone and he says, we have a problem. It's true. Now, you'll remember this moment because Elon Musk flew the next day to Pennsylvania. That was in October 17th, 2024. Remember, he did that lengthy town hall. I think it was about 90 minutes. He even talked to, I had a memorable exchange with our friend Greg Stenstrom, who's been on InfoWars before, the author of The Parallel Election. But in that, we noticed, I remember watching that thing, there's something a little bit different here with how Elon Musk is talking about our election system. During that, he mentioned Dominion. He said during that presentation, and it's still online, I looked today, I'm going to include the link to that in my Substack at emerald.tv. Alex, he said, quote, "There's always the question of Dominion voting machines. It's weird that they're used in Philadelphia and Maricopa County, but not in a lot of other places. Doesn't that seem like a heck of a coincidence?" In that moment, a mere couple weeks before the 2024 election, Elon Musk was telling the American people in a very public appearance that our election systems are rigged. But they were still faced with the conundrum, like, what do you do about it? How do we stop it? What proceeded in weeks following after that presentation in Philadelphia is that the Venezuelan whistleblowers, that Patrick Byrne and Gary Burnson and the man that I mentioned went and briefed in Mar-a-Lago, had assembled. They've been moving them around the globe. I mean, it really sounds like a Hollywood thriller or action film. They moved them from South America to Stade, Switzerland, and then ultimately to the Bahamas, and then brought them into the United States. But at that time, they were sitting in Stade, Switzerland in a safe house, because you got to imagine what kind of threat these people are under, having defected from the Venezuelan government and being willing to tell how they've rigged their elections, not only theirs, but we'll get to how many in just a moment across the globe. So they're sitting there. They began to brief one of Elon Musk's tech guys and other people at Mar-a-Lago via basically Zoom, like a video conferencing platform. They start telling them how it works. In fact, General Michael Flynn, who was on InfoWars earlier today, excellent information. If people didn't see that, I suggest you go back and watch it. Flew to Switzerland to meet these whistleblowers, who I have talked to some of them myself, and verify this information. General Flynn asked them, how long has this been going on? I am told that Flynn was even taken aback by the answer. They said, well, for at least 20 years and in 72 countries. When you ask why people don't want to touch it, there you go. This is going to have, it's going to have shockwaves that reverberate throughout the world when everyone understands what's been going on.
And by the way, they don't have former high level, highly decorated, most respected CIA section chiefs coming out and exposing that they've seen all the documents. They know this as well. So the point is, Trump's making a major move now with this coming out. That's why the Democrats are so freaked out and calling for a coup.
Yeah, and Gary Burnson has been on this for many years. And in fact, he was also residing in Switzerland at the time of the election, U.S. election, because they knew if it didn't go, if they were able to steal another election, Patrick Byrne, Gary Burnson, this guy from Venezuela, they were all dead meat. In fact, the guy who briefed at Mar-a-Lago, he'd actually flew to Oslo, Norway, for the election, because if it went bad, like you said, they were going to arrest thousands of people. I've been told that I was on a list of 700 that was to be directly targeted in the second
term. Talked to the DOJ that's seen the list. It was over 10,000 people, sweetheart. You're on it.
Yeah, we're all on it. So
that's good. We want to be on that list.
That means we're on the right side of history, but history, we have to make sure. I heard what Flynn said today. There's one more election. That's it. This is make or break. We got a lifeline in 2024 when these whistleblowers worked with, Trump's, you know, the tech guys and ultimately Senator Mullen. Here's what they did. So this is probably my favorite part of the story, Alex, is that there had been a Japanese blogger who had apparently been watching the 2020 election and capturing the IP addresses during the 2020 election. He had put this on Twitter like some years before 2024. In research by the investigative team that I call the Three Musketeers, Gary Bernstein and this Venezuelan gentleman, they came across this data from the Japanese guy, and they asked him, they just DM'd him, okay, on Twitter, and asked him, you know, can we get this data? And he essentially said, yeah, if you buy me a coffee. So for $15 worth of Bitcoin, like nothing, this guy sends them the IP addresses. The whistleblowers verify it. They give that over, you know, as they're working with, we can say, Trump's team. But it was really Senator Mullen who, again, comes in and saves the day and makes sure that the right people gets this information. The day of the election, no one knew what was going to happen because that was the end of it. They'd done what they could do. The Three Musketeers, their team of what they refer to them as different names, but bananas or visitors, that's the whistleblowers from Venezuela. They'd done what they could do. So they didn't know if it was going to work or not, right? But obviously we saw what happened on election night. I remember sitting there knowing what I knew, and I had researched since November of 2020. I said, they can still do this. There's no way. I didn't know how he was winning because I knew they still had this capability. What I didn't know, and I found out in days afterwards or a couple months afterward, is that the threat had been neutralized. They had taken out that Serbian office. The IP addresses had pointed back there. But also recall, Sheriff Darleaf out of Berry County, Michigan, has released emails between Serbia, Dominion employees in Serbia, and Dominion employees in the United States, right? So that's also been verified there as part of discovery in an ongoing lawsuit. They managed to stop their computers from working, take out their servers, which by the way is are Huawei servers. Okay. They're Chinese hardware that they were, putting our U.S. elections data on and flipping the results. But that was a one time Hail Mary save the country because they just shift again. And as we saw the down ballot races in California, there were, you know, several races that didn't get called for 30 days when a Republican was leading. And then, of course, the Democrats.
Exactly. They got mail-in voting. They got dead people illegals voting. Then yes. They've got the gerrymandering the way they've written it. Then they've got all the extra congressional seats, 18 of them off illegals. This is all the Democrats admit they've done this. So we have a constellation of this. But the only reason the extra 8 million votes didn't magically appear, as I was told from sources, is we can't tell you if this happened. Now it's coming out. I want to continue after the break. We got 3 minutes to break, but what about this? I was told 2 weeks ago, then a week ago, people that were at the White House in this meeting with the president and others in a briefing, and I'm not trying to pump up Wiles, this is what I was told by sources that have been right all the time, that she's done a great job on this and that they now have proof of China manufacturing the chips for the computers in Taiwan that are sent to Venezuela and indeed with the remote access control, which they broke it open machines and found, but they throw you in jail if you do it, claiming you violated their source code. So the point is, this is coming out. The Democrats know it. They're scared.
They do. And speaking of the manufacturing part of this, where the hardware and the chips being manufactured, actually, that's in the public record already. People just don't know where to look for it. There's that ongoing Smartmatic bribery corruption case that's down in the Southern District of Florida, and one of the recent filings with the superseding indictment that was filed just a few weeks ago against Smartmatic itself, the company.
Yeah, but folks don't know. Smartmatic's supposedly perfect. The DOJ has now indicted one of their executives for money laundering and bribery out of the Philippines with this.
More than one. Four of them.
Yeah.
Four of them, and they've indicted the company. And in that latest superseding indictment filing, they mention a vendor A in Taiwan, okay? And it says that that manufacturer and all the voting machine companies use this manufacturer, they say. It's actually the CCP. It's in Taiwan, okay? But what they do is really ship it there to kind of skirt, you know, the revelation that is coming from China.
So and what happens next? This is all coming out.
The indictment filed. So you can go find that.
We've covered it. So this is definitely coming to a head. What's the big picture synopsis?
The big picture synopsis is that we now know explicitly that our elections are rigged. We know how they're rigged. We know they've been rigged in multiple countries. The data,
and we know
they
target battlegrounds. That's the key.
They target the battleground states. Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, right? And while this might just be like 30% of the market share, it's enough to flip a presidential election. But then you have all the other ways they can steal. The main point of this is we know. I'm not saying our intelligence agencies are absolved from any blame. They're involved in this too. And they've tried their best to make sure this information doesn't come out. And they're still trying, Alex, okay? They're culpable, they're involved, and they're also involved in the cover-up. But we know now something has to be done about it. I hope that the administration presents this information to the American people, because I don't think everyone understands why there are warships surrounding Venezuela. This is really why, because they've been overthrowing
their
government.
Absolutely. Emerald Robinson, stay there. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes! Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com. Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right. Anybody that pays attention to this broadcast knows we got about a 98% accuracy rate. And you can see our talking points that are reality-based everywhere. So I'm just going to say this to all of you. If you want to live in a free country and you want to have a future, pray for this broadcast. Humbly, I ask you, support it with word of mouth and financially support us. And again, I'd be an idiot if I sold you stuff that didn't have a great effect. We have the biggest selection of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. You wear a 1776 shirt, you wear an InfoWars shirt, you wear a Trump shirt, it's an adventure. You'll mainly get love, might get your dinner bought for you, might get, you know, stabbed in the back in the wrong Democrat area. The point is, it's 1776 worldwide, new designs every day, 25% off store-wide right now, Black Friday comes early. But on the supplements, we have the biggest sale ever. It's not just buy one bottle of our CMOS or ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or bovine colostrum. We have the best private labeled, top rated one. You can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. It's buy any supplement, get any other supplement you want free. These are amazing products. These are game changing. And I need your support. And so this is not a simulation. This is not a drill. This is not a Netflix entertainment show. This is the real world. They have fought like the devil to keep this from coming out, and it's all coming out regardless of what they do. So for all of you on the fence, that's who I'm going at. Go to thealexjonesshow.com. Oh, there's going to be an explosion when they shut us down in the next month with the receiver and all of it because we've exhausted our legal stuff. We've survived so much, people think, oh, you okay, right, Alex, you're there. Well, it's fine. It's where we're at, the Alex Jones Network. They don't own thealexjonesshow.com. That's what funds and runs the Alex Jones Network. But just remember that. The point is we need your support now. Do your Christmas shopping early. We need funds in the legal fight. We're filing conspiracy against rights, civil rights lawsuits. We already have some filed, but the big ones are coming. They're in a lot of trouble. And so you're literally not just keeping us on air, you're funding our operation against the deep state. There is nowhere, this is by the grace of God, it's not me. There's no broadcast in the world causing more destruction to tyranny than this operation. And it's our guest, it's our callers, it's our crew. I'm a very small part of it. You are everything. I need you to take action, to decide to do it. I want to thank those that have. I want to ask those that have it. What are you thinking? Because look, we're all in this together. Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin both said, hang together, hang separate. You are aiding yourself when you support the broadcast, even if you were just giving a donation. This is a donation. You get a great product because we want you to get it and love it and form the relationship so I can build a bigger network and get more hosts on, not just survive, but expand, which is our plan. I got the will to do it, but I need you to decide to join me. It's like a marriage, basically, or a business deal or an alliance. I'm waiting. I'm here. But the level of power I have to fight the enemy, despite all of my will and despite all of my commitment, is you. You're the amplifier. You're the wind in the sails. You're the entire system. If you don't take action, the dog don't hunt. I'm asking you now to take action. TheAlexJonesShow.com. The sale ends Friday. Please take action now. All right, Emil Robinson continuing, getting into this huge in-depth report you've done, all this coming out, the White House getting set to release more information. Continue with the information that's come out and how you think the bad guys are going to respond to this. Emerald Robinson.
Oh, it'll only make them more desperate. And like I said, they're not just sitting by and waiting and watching. They're already preparing their indictments. They're preparing how they're going to target Americans. So this is an existential crisis moment for us. Either the next elections are fair and they're not and we lose our country. What really was a major takeaway for me in doing the research that I've done for years, and particularly with the last year of hundreds of hours that I spent sitting and talking with people who were part of this, the whistleblowers, the facts that I've confirmed with members at ODNI, the current Office of the Director of National Intelligence, is that we knew a lot of this back in 2020, Alex. January 6th could have been prevented. The 4 years of the weaponization under the Biden regime, the people who lost so much, the J6ers, people who put all their money, like Patrick Byrne, he spent like $80 million. Mike Lindell spent his fortune. He's been targeted for trying to reveal the truth and save the country. We knew so much of this, even late 2020, because I knew a lot of this. I sat in a deposition for Dominion, and I didn't know this. They asked me how my tweets, my reporting on Smart Backing Dominion predated 99% of all traffic. And it's because I had seen this. I have been briefed by people in the intelligence community. I'll name one source, the late Rich Higgins, who was a great American. He wrote the memo. He tried to warn Trump about subversive actors in his first term. We'd be in a much better place if Rich Higgins were still with us now. He's unfortunately passed on. I have been shocked by verifying the facts with these whistleblowers that I now have access to, right? The engineers, the employees at CNE, who was a key employee at the Venezuela government for elections. Now I've gotten to verify and see the receipts and see the really hard technical data. We knew enough about this in 2020 to do something about it, but people told Trump he was crazy, right? Then Director of National Intelligence, Acting Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, did nothing. In fact, he didn't even do what he was supposed to do in releasing the report about interference, foreign interference in our elections, because the intelligence community kept him from releasing it all, he says, especially as it related to China. But he had a duty to do it, and he didn't. We could have avoided all of this. Trump had instincts, and he knew this was right. And he was told, this is something that I want to know more. I'm going to drop a little more of this probably today, this aspect of the story. And it does go back to 2020, but it's very important. Trump did commission a report, and that's been brought up a lot by the legacy media, you know, the propagandist media of late. I saw it in a few articles trying to slam, say, Kurt Olson, who's been hired by the president as an attorney to deal with elections at the White House. There was an investigation or that Trump commissioned, but he got a recommendation for a group to investigate. I'm probably going to drop their name later today. I don't know who recommended this group to the president, Alex, but we need to know who, because this was literally the worst people you could call to investigate. They are the people who've known about it and been in on it for years here in America, because there are a lot of those people too. And we need to, they need to reveal those names, and the Trump administration needs to prosecute them. The group that was recommended to Trump were so bad. It was literally the worst people that it had to be on purpose. And of course, what did they say? Well, there's nothing there. This was a legitimate election. We're sorry, Mr. President. There's no there there. They were covering up for the fraud, the people that Trump hired to investigate. That's used in all of these, the Washington Post, Politico now, when they try to slam, and they'll probably bring this report back up, right, as they try to slam my reporting. So I'm going to release information on that group. People have told Trump about this in 2020 and early 2021, and he tasked, you know, particularly Jared Kushner to get a team and to do something about it, and nobody did anything about it. Now Tulsi Gabbard has been tasked to do something about it. She's been working diligently. I do give my hat tip to Susie Wiles. She made sure Elon got the information, and you know that the people were briefed in Mar-a-Lago, or 2024 wouldn't have been saved.
You just seconded my intel that I'm not trying to like be her cheerleader, but that she's really been working hard on this.
She has, and she was essential in 2024. She could have shut that down right there and said, no, 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 this is what people have said for years. This is crazy talk. Those people have tried to, you know, try to push this nonsense. But no, she said, this lines up. I'm going to have Elon look at it. And then multiple people were breached, right? Susie was the gatekeeper of Mar-a-Lago. She could have shut it down at any point. She did not. She made sure people got the briefings and that this intelligence was vetted. And then ultimately something was done about it. But now there's something that's got to be done about it. We got a lifeline. Tulsi Gabbard's ODNI. I've talked to several members of her team about what they know. She was stopped from giving the full report to President Trump. That's also in this thread that I've done.
Who did that?
I was told it was staffers from the White House who told her not to include the intel about the 2020 election.
Because they think it hurts him to say that was stolen. No, it doesn't. We know it was.
In 2026, they said he needs to be focused on the 2026 midterms.
No, stop filtering information to the president. Those people, that's treasonous. He gave an order. He wants the damn intel. Give it to him.
And he was very upset about it. Very.
Oh, so he found out they covered it up.
He found out they covered it back up. He told her not to bring him this. He wants a full report. There are people within the CIA and the intelligence community still trying to solve this. But I can also tell you that there is a task force that's been repurposed down in Florida. There's been a U.S. attorney who's been looking into this for years. Now the mainstream media is on this. There was a recent story in The Guardian, and they're trying to paint this as misinformation again and that this is just a politicized investigation. It's not. This attorney, U.S. attorney, has quietly been working on this because it was put on his radar because of the region that he's in. So there is an ongoing investigation. Now, those whistleblowers that I've been talking about that were essential to this story, right, essential to helping U.S. officials and U.S. Intelligence and Elon Musk team understand what was going on, they're still sort of hanging out in the wind. They were able to make it into the United States. They came on a catamaran from the Bahamas, from Star Switzerland to the Bahamas to the U.S. Tom Homan made sure they were able to legally enter the country safely as well. But they're still not under federal protection.
Oh, so that's what Byrne talked about, smuggling them in.
Yeah, they weren't smuggled in illegally, okay?
Because no, Homan smuggled to here before that. Yeah. So understanding this. We need serious action, obviously, but you look how scared the Democrats are. They know it's closing in. You got caught up by the break. I remember this point about why we're going into Venezuela, and I'm not normally for regime change, but they're not just about the drugs. It's not just about the piggy bank for the Democrats. It's been the powerhouse confirmed of the fraud, and so I think that's clearly why Trump's putting pressure on them. So start back when we hit the break 15 minutes ago. You were talking about that, and we hit the break. I forgot to come back to that.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, and I understand it because I'm totally against regime change. It's never hasn't really worked out well for us in the past. And people think this is just related to the drug smuggling, right? And everybody understands, well, Venezuela is not even necessarily the big problem there. It's a problem, right? It's a narco-terrorist state. There's no denying that. But they can bring them up through land routes. They bring them through Guatemala, right? So I was so hoping that the administration would explain the full operation, the rationale behind it. Because when you see the big picture, it's really a four-pronged situation with Venezuela. There is the drug trafficking and money laundering, right? Sure. There's Tren de Aragua, which was really a paramilitary operation, as we've just talked about one of the times I made an appearance on your show not too long ago. We went in depth on that, and I know you've talked about that in depth. But there's the election fraud aspect of this. And when you see the scale of which has been used, I did ask one of the whistleblowers in the last couple of days, have they used this in our elections before? And the answer is yes. So our democracy has, our constitutional republic has been subverted much longer than we even knew. Okay. And that of other countries have been subverted. 72, right, is what they told General Flynn and what they told me. So there's the election interference aspect of this. So that's why you get the open borders, right? That's why you get the communist takeover of countries like America. Then there's also the counterintelligence part of this. What American people don't know either, and that, you know, has not been explained. And I think that Tulsi Gabbard and good members of the intelligence community are just now kind of wrapping their heads around is that Cuba and Venezuela have flipped a lot of assets, key assets. That's people, right? Working in the United States government, key officials in like the State Department, in the intelligence community. They flipped them to be their assets. And I think we look at Cuba and Venezuela and we look at them as failed regimes, but you don't understand the kind of money they have. And the power they have.
Let's explain. Communists don't fail. Communism isn't a failed thing. It's a successful tyranny. They suck the people dry. Then they keep all the money and exploit it to take over the next country. It's a takeover weaponized system like Islam.
Right. So we have a counterintelligence problem as well that stems from Cuba and Venezuela. When you add that all together, then you see the full picture. And you understand. And also, there was a stand down order under John Brennan. I don't know if General Flynn talked about this on your show, from John Brennan, to stop gathering Cuban intelligence. So we have purposefully, at the direction of our intelligence community, stopped gathering intel on our own hemisphere. We've been distracted by the squirrel overseas, right, in the Middle East. And we were not paying attention to what was happening in our own Western hemisphere that was allowing for the communist takeover of our country, the chaos that you're seeing. And we're just now understanding that.
Incredible.
And that's why the warships surrounding Venezuela.
Now, I want to play a clip here of a former CIA section chief, Afghanistan, highly decorated, laying out exactly what you're talking about. And I've actually seen these reports from other people before, but this guy's very credible. We have the documents. Here's Bernsen breaking it down.
His name knew so much about election theft, and this was over a decade ago. And he went to a congressman, because he lived in New York. He went to a congressman there, knocked on the door, and said, "This is what I know about," and told this whole story. And the congressman looked, "That's Cuban information. That's, how dare you steal that from Cuba?" And started yelling at the individual. By the time he got home, leading members of the cartel had called his house and say, "We know you walked into a congressman today, and your mother and father live down the streets, and we're going to murder them the moment we ever get another report on you." So that guy went silent for a decade. And he did wind up contacting us later. But that's how bad this is. And he walked into his congressman. There are members of in every part of our government that have been affected by this. This is the great plague on America, that they figured out Americans could be bought because they were not loyal. Something happened after the end of the Cold War here.
So it's really like the last 25 years is where this kind of came into being.
It's a cultural thing that has occurred in our country. I hate to say it. I hate to say it. But
it's Gary Bernsen, former section chief, Afghanistan, CIA. And the point is, I have literal giant stacks just today of the Somali community alone stealing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions just being indicted this week. And that's like the culture. So we sit here, taught the West is bad, whites are bad, all this crap, and literally, compared to the rest of the world, we're like angels. It's just true. And so there's this total invasion with this communist Muslim John Brennan running it all because we were weak, we were open, and now the jig's up, and now they're panicking, and now their piggy bank is surrounded. Emerald Robinson, where do you see all this going?
Well, it's according to who wins, right? History is written by the winners. If we win and our elections become secure and we have a true constitutional republic, people like Patrick Byrne, who has literally bankrolled this. He has bankrolled these Venezuelan whistleblowers, keeping them alive and their families, and fed so that they could help the United States out of his own pocket. He has not been reimbursed. I want to make sure that's clear. He's done this out of his own pocket. People like him. And Gary Bernstein.
I mean, what about, we'll go back to Gary in a minute, but I mean, what about Mike Lindell? Lost everything he had in this fight.
Yes. Mike Lindell has, and he's still targeted. Do you know that Mike Lindell is targeted on a daily basis, whether it's, you know, from financial institutions or lawsuits, and the man just keeps fighting on.
Oh, the judge in Minnesota found him guilty with no evidence, even though the very company suing him just got indicted for what he said they do. I mean, it's just crazy. Believe me, I know how it is. I've been through it myself. So whoever's under attack, people need to support, folks. It's very simple.
And if people like you, if Trump carries through this through and cleans it up and holds those people who have done this to our country responsible, and we preserve our constitutional republic, these people, you, Patrick Byrne, Mike Lindell, Gary Bernsen, and this, you know, Venezuelan national who took it upon himself to help out, and these Venezuelan whistleblowers will go down in history as great American patriots who saved our Constitution.
No, I totally agree. But as negative as all this is, we have moved light years from where we were 10 years ago or 5 years ago or a year ago. I mean, this is all coming out. The deep state, they've got to be really concerned.
They're obviously concerned, but that's when they get very dangerous. And so we can't back down. Okay, so maybe we have them on their heels a bit, but they are going to push faster and harder. In fact, because of Donald Trump and him being such a flashlight when he came into the picture and winning the 2016 election, you and I both know it sped it up. They went faster and harder with our communist takeover. So now that they're feeling like time, they're under the gun and time could be running out again, they're just going to push faster and harder. And we just got to keep, we've got to keep talking about it. We've got to demand action from the president and his administration, Alex, because they're not going to back down. And that's with the Seditious Six video, right? They're telling you that explicitly. They're activating their subversive people within our military. So Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War, I'm still getting used to that, has to be on his guard. He's got to be watching his ranks.
You're totally right. They're getting ready to make their move. But isn't it heartening to you that now they have the deputy chief of staff coming on saying it's a rogue CIA element, which we know it is, all of this. You have all these former, you know, high-level people coming out. I mean, the good news is
that I can finally tell this story and that people are listening. I have been talking about this, as have you, since November of 2020, telling you this election is rigged. This election is rigged. And I know people got tired of hearing it. I was called the crazy lady, but I'm so glad to see so many people talking about it. That is encouraging. And I was talking to a hardcore, what used to be a hardcore leftist a week ago, and she told me, she said, look, I'm willing to believe this when I see the evidence. Well, the evidence is coming out, okay? And people are seeing it. So yes, we are in a far better place because before we were blind and we didn't know we were even in an unrestricted war. We didn't know we were in battle the way we know we are now. And I do think there's some really great people in the administration.
Emerald, I got to stop you. We've got breaking news. The London Telegraph is reporting two National Guard officers shot in Washington, D.C. There's no video, just a photo of them shot. Two National Guard officers have reportedly been shot in D.C. Metropolitan Police Department confirmed a shooting had taken place, but were unable to say who had been shot or what the condition was. The shooting is said to have taken place just streets away from the White House. Newsmax White House correspondent claimed a Secret Service agent said the two National Guard members had been shot. Pictures from the scene showed a large police presence, including officers and armed with assault rifles. The area was cordoned off. I mean, this is the left openly calling for violence, openly saying not just they're following legal orders, but that it's illegal. And you've got the image of the National Guard's person shot here. This is the left. I mean, I actually had like 10 clips that I haven't played today of Democrats at major universities, faculty, and others saying, get the gun, it's time to kill, the uprisings now. And then they think somehow when there's a civil war and a black guy gets shot, they're going to somehow go, look, they shot a black guy and use that to make it a race war. I think America is going to be wise to this, including black folks. And I bring up black folks because the Democrats keep saying in their war games they're going to use them as the trigger. Well, black folks, you're going to play that part? I don't think you are. That's why we get – so, Emerald Robinson, what do you make of this? Let's pull up the HD of this photo. Look at this poor – looks like they got shot while they were in a building. There's shattered glass. We're going to find out what happened here, but wow, wow. Emerald?
Yeah, I actually was messaging our White House correspondent at Lindell TV to see if she had heard anything because I'm just learning about this now as you share this with me on your show.
Well, let's do this. Let's go to break. Let's make sure that Stuart Rhodes, former political prisoner, founder of the Oath Keepers, is host of the Fourth Hour, knows about this. I'm sure he does. But let's come back and do 5 minutes on this straight ahead. Folks, I can't do it without you. I'm going to ask you to give me your support. Biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesShow.com. Buy one supplement and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $20 supplement and a $40 supplement free. That's a hell of a deal. 25% off on all the supplements. I mean, all the Patriot apparel. I need your support. I need funds. We've proven ourselves. It's a no-brainer. You support us. You support your own future. These products are incredible. It's a win-win. The only way you fail is not taking action. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right, back in 2 minutes with the latest. Two National Guards shot in D.C. right by the White House.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him.
We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion.
I wanted to speak about Islam because it's very easy for us to do the classic, and I think that's what they want us to do, divide and conquer. And the problem is that people are confused. They think this is about religion. This is about authoritarian versus a libertarian existence. That top horizontal bar is the lie that we've been told, that there is far left, far right, and in the middle is, you know, democracy. When in fact what it is it's socialism in the middle. So they've lied to us, and they've made us think that there's this thing called far left, which is supposed to be very different from far right. It's a lie. What is true is that the real, you know, spectrum is from total government to anarchy. And constitutional republic is just slightly below anarchy. It's where we have liberty and freedoms, and we live in Christian countries under the idea that we are given inalienable rights.
Loads of people call me racist for going to these, but I just want to be able to feel safe in my own community, and I just want to be able to walk the streets like my dad and my mum used to without a worry.
Dr. Mukaddam, what is the penalty for apostasy?
If it's an Islamic country, then the Sharia is very clear. Apostasy is dealt with the death penalty.
Thank you. That's all I want to hear.
He plays his games. We play our.
They create this fake paradox of political systems. Is something totalitarian or is it libertarian?
If we start going Islam, is evil, and they're all, barbaric and cruel, and they're awful to women and blah blah blah, we're just going to get into the divide and conquer. What I think we can differentiate. That any religion...
Islam is totalitarian.
Yeah, any religion that's totalitarian, we don't want.
There's no big organized Christian movement that's going to put beekeeper suits on women and enslave them and do all this exactly. So we have to recognize, where is the real totalitarianism in religion right now? It's Islam.
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers?
This is a concerted effort by a group of human beings who are authoritarian, who wish to conquer the entire planet. What we're talking about here is a lower frequency of existence. And we can all imagine, like, you know, when the Aztecs would be like sacrificing people, and the Druids were sacrificing little children. These are low states of consciousness. I mean, murdering people in order to placate some vicious god.
Allah promotes violence against the Jews, against the Christians, against the kafir, the unbeliever. Openly, Allah himself is telling the Muslim people to go and kill them with violence. And it's like you're doing favor to God. Like you're doing, supernatural, amazing thing by killing your enemies. And the exact opposite is in the Bible, where Jesus comes, Isa comes and says, forgive your enemies, love them, bless them, take care of your enemies. So it's such a huge contrast.
The West goes to empower women, and then somehow the globalists get women to double back to go to the most Stone Age thing there is.
According to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body.
So know this, that Islam will enter every house. Every house.
If we fail to acknowledge that what we're witnessing with our eyes, what we're hearing when they say, Muslim, how we go, we're going to take over America, everybody will be a Muslim, we'll be in every home. The reason why I keep banging on about this is because I want to save us from falling into the trap of divide and conquer. I know that there has to be Muslims out there that understand what I'm saying, that move to America precisely because of the libertarian construction of the American society. Everything that Christ said to us, it's all about love. And love ultimately is the act of wisdom to know that if somebody is behaving terribly,
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Yeah, there's a storm on the loose, sirens in my head, wrapped up in silence, our circuits are dead. Can I be cold? My whole life spins into a frenzy.
All right, Dinesh D'Souza is our guest for the next hour. He's a great American, does a great job defending the West and our freedoms. But I've seen him be critical of Tucker Carlson. I've seen him kind of join in on all this. He's got a new film out we'll get into as well. And my issue is, why is Israel, with the left and now with the right, the main central issue? And then why does Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and them going on a war path against Tucker, who's just as curious and has all sorts of guests on? Why is that becoming the main issue of the Republican Party and driving a wedge? Because I see Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin and Josh Hammer saying Tucker's a fox in the hen house. We need to neutralize him. And Levin saying, we're going to censor you. We're going to deplatform you. We're going to do all this. It just totally turns people off and turns people against Israel. I don't want Israel to be destroyed. I'm not pro Hamas and all this. But also understand Israel helped found Hamas. Netanyahu helped fund Hamas. Now we have the former head Al-Qaeda guy at the White House yesterday. I understand that Syria was overthrown by the West before Trump got in, but it's just like It's crazy. And so there's got to be some nuance here to say what should be the big issues, like China and rare earth minerals and securing the border and getting jobs back and stopping inflation. But no matter what I do now on the left and all of its, you know, Mondami and all its Israel's the devil thing, and then now a lot of populists, you know, are reasonably mad about Israel first stuff, but it's not the main issue. And then Israel lobby comes in with the perfect way of I want to Streisand effect and make it the bigger issue. So I guess my argument's too sophisticated for some people. We're just supposed to mindlessly do whatever Netanyahu says, or we're supposed to be pro-Hamas. To me, this is a disaster, and it's becoming a major, you know, infection point. And I don't want to put words into Dinesh's mouth. Maybe he can respond to this. I see him putting out videos criticizing Tucker, you know, talking about demonic attack or whatever. But, I mean, he's got a book out about prophecy here. I mean, you know, Jesus talked about the principalities, you know, and Paul, the powers of the air, the evil in high places. I mean, I think good versus evil is a real thing. So, Dinesh, I'm not really having a debate with you because I think you're overall a great guy and I respect you. I think you come from things from a perspective of what you think's right. But I do think our identity as Americans is not Hamas, is not Islam, and is not Israel. And so I've been trying to, like, I got Nick Fuentes on Tucker. I've been trying to get Nick Fuentes, you know, to see where all this goes. And he was attacking Tucker, and then he does an okay interview, you know, just lets him talk. And now I feel like I blew up the munitions factory or something here. So there's a lot there. It's not simple talking points. It's complex. Where do you stand on this? What do you think America's main issue should be? Do you get where I'm going here?
For sure, Alex. And look, I think you and I have known each other a pretty long time. I think you know that I come right from the Reagan tradition straight to Trump. And I'm very much America first. And also, Israel has never been my issue. In other words, I've been 35 years in American politics. I've written about 20 books, not a single one of them, by the way, on Israel. I've made a bunch of documentary films. Almost all of them have been, in one way or another, the meaning of America. Obama, Hillary.
No, that's fair to say. You're Mr. America. You've been back in America 100%. You're a big fan.
Yeah, so my interest in Israel developed kind of in a rather odd way. I went there really for the first time 3 years ago. I don't have deep connections with Israel. I went for the first time. I was like, wow, it does feel like I'm in the land of the Bible. And what really intrigued me, Alex, was all these findings in the last couple of decades in biblical archaeology. Because of my own past work in Christian apologetics, I said to myself that all these figures in the Bible, and for hundreds of years, they were only in the Bible. You had to take them on faith.
But now they're finding it everywhere. It's all being proven.
Yeah. It's coming out of coins and stone inscriptions and seals. And I was like, wow, this is really amazing stuff.
They find the aluminum seals right where that Moses did it. I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy. And I said also, look, there's a political lesson here, which is that whatever you want to argue about Israel, the Jews have been in this land for 3,500 years. There's no debating that because here
and
are
let's
their...
not debate. They have a very special place in God's plan.
There you go. Now, what happens is I make a film about this, which enters the political only somewhat. I take Tucker Carlson's question that he asked of Ted Cruz, which was, hey, are the Jews of today the true descendants of the Jews in the Bible? And I said, let me put that question to Netanyahu. And so I did. And Netanyahu gave a very interesting answer talking about his ancestors, and he did a little bit of a dunk on Tucker. And what I did was I thought, look, if I'm going to post that clip, I don't want to ambush Tucker. I'll send it to him first. I texted it to him. I go, Tucker, I took your question. I posed it to Netanyahu. And this is what he said. I'm doing a very responsible thing. You raised the question with Ted Cruz in public. I'm asking the very man you mentioned, Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, to respond. And then Tucker sent me a very irritable response with some kind of genetic study claiming that the Jews of today are only like 67% connected to the ancient Israelites. And I sort of scratched my head. I'm thinking to myself, well, We don't do this with any other people, right? I mean, Alex, you and I don't go around demanding that blacks today provide genetic studies to prove that they really are from Africa. And if they can't show that they're 100% from Africa, then they're not really Africans. I mean, this kind of thing is really weird. And Tucker doesn't do it with any other group. So I kind of pointed that out to him. Now, Tucker and I had been last year together on a conference. We traveled over to a bunch of cities in Australia. We gave a lecture tour together. So we were together for about 8 or 9 days. And Tucker was like, well, Dinesh, why are you being like passive aggressive here? As if to say that in questioning him in any respect, I was either calling him an anti-Semite or somehow, you know, insulting him. And I was a little baffled. I'm like, well, Tucker, I'm just disagreeing with you. And somehow this cut off the tie between me and Tucker. Now, look, my thought about all this is we should be debating these issues. I am certainly not Israel first. I do not think that there is any immunity of the Israeli government from criticism. I think the issue of AIPAC's influence in American politics is a legitimate one to debate and discuss. I also think that the polarization between the kind of Tucker and Candace camp on the one side and the Ben Shapiro camp on the other tends to force people into one or the other. I don't know if I belong squarely in either of those camps.
Well, that was my next question. Do you agree with me that, because if I covered Israel all day, I'd have higher ratings. I don't do that. To me, there's so many other issues. I covered some. We're doing it right now. But you agree, though, this schism is not healthy.
Of course I agree. And look, what I find weird is that both sides basically say it shouldn't be about Israel, and that's all they talk about. I mean, Tucker too, to be fair, because remember, when Tucker was on Fox, was this a central topic for him? Not at all. But now if he's talking about tariffs, if he's talking about World War II, if he's talking about the atom bomb, if he's talking about Sharia, it doesn't matter where he starts. He like always has the same end point.
But I think that's where we are. So let's address this. Why is Israel the perennial now, the hottest topic? I don't think you disagree. It's like it's constant.
Well, I think it's because the issue has bounced from Israel right back into the issue of what is MAGA? Like, what is America first? What do we as conservatives believe? Now, interestingly, if you go back to the Reagan years, there was a very clear sense of who we are, what do we believe, what do we stand for. In the Trump era, it's admittedly a lot less clear because Trump is less ideological than Reagan. As you mentioned, Trump will, you know, he'll meet with Kim Jong-un. He'll sit down with the guy who's, you know, the guy with the ISIS background who is now running Syria. Trump has no problem like sitting down and kind of strong-arming the guy and trying to figure out what he can get out of him. So we are in the Trump era, in a less ideological era. And maybe for that reason, there are a lot of people on the right who are raising the question, like, what do we stand for? Is there anything that we have in common? Yeah, we're a big tent.
Evidenced by the former leader of al-Qaeda in Syria being the dictator. And I get the Democrats did it. You know, I get they overthrew it. I get, you know, Saudi Arabia has got to deal with us. But just the optics of, we all get groped at the airport over al-Qaeda, and then now here's the, you know, former leader of it at the White House. And that's where people are having a problem. And I get Trump's pragmatically just dealing with what he has, but that's what we're talking about.
Well, Reagan was pragmatic in the same way. Look, Reagan funded a bunch of Muslims who were fighting against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, right? Not because he liked Muslims, but because he realized that the enemy of my enemy is my ally, at least in the short term. Trump recognizes that in the Middle East, both with the Abraham Accords and now with the peace deal, it's nice to have some Muslims on your side. I mean, that's why he's always surrounded by Saudis and Emiratis and Bahrainis. He doesn't want to make this into a fight against Islam. And I think in that sense, he's right.
No, clearly he's trying to get peace, which I think is laudable. So, but I don't think the public gets the sophistication of it.
No, I agree. Now, look, let's come back for a moment to Tucker, and we don't need to focus on Tucker, but I do want to ask you.
No, we can. I mean, he's the big guy of the hour, you know.
Yeah. I think Tucker is the main guy just because with Candace, you know, she's doing her thing. Look, I like Matt Gaetz. I go on his show all the time. I discuss with him these issues. So there's an open-minded discourse going on. Here's my question, and that is in the last really few weeks, Tucker has quite deliberately taken just a series of stances that any one by itself you could say, well, he's just thinking independently. But if you put them together, it's a very strange pattern, right? I mean, would you expect, let's just say 3 years ago, for Tucker to say something like, you know, Sharia law is not really that bad? I mean, that's not a Tucker thing to say, and yet he said it. Would you expect Tucker to say that the socialist narco-terrorist regime of Venezuela, look, my wife is Venezuelan, she rails about this all the time, that Maduro is, quote, a conservative? Well, I mean, Maduro's a conservative if you consider Osama bin Laden a conservative.
Sure, well, I haven't seen the clip. I know you sent us one. It's like 3 seconds long. Tucker said Sharia law is not a big deal.
Yeah, Tucker's basically said, well, listen, all these people are dunking on Sharia. He goes, wouldn't I like to live in a society where there's no crime, where it's all very peaceful and orderly? He goes, that's the Sharia law that they're complaining about. What's so bad about that? So I'm paraphrasing Tucker, obviously, but that's what he was getting at. And what I'm saying is, you know, yeah, if you want to live in a society where A, you chop people's arms and legs off, and B, where people who leave Islam are sentenced to death, you will get a very orderly and homogenous society, to be sure. But that's the ideology of ISIS. That's the ideology of
Bin Laden. Well, I haven't seen the clip, but we'll find it and play it coming up.
You should play the clip and listen to it carefully, and you'll be like, that's odd. Again, it's not based upon one thing. Then Tucker will go on to say something like, well, you know, maybe we should have not only allied with Hitler in World War II, but the really bad guy was Churchill. Now, again, I'm all for debating World War II. I'm not saying any of this should be a closed question, but it's a little surprising thing for Tucker to say, given the intellectual tradition that Tucker and I are both.
Yeah, but his angle, like this veteran of World War II, is that why did we fight it? Because now we've been turned over to Islam. I've seen that clip. He's specifically talking about, not that Hitler, the endorsement of Hitler, but why did we fight this and we just turned ourselves over to Islam? Have you seen the clip of the World War II veteran?
Well, I've seen the clip of the World War II veteran, but I want to focus on what Tucker was saying. The United States, by the way, did not get into World War II to fight the Nazis. Let's remember that Hitler invaded Poland in 1939. That's when World War II started. We did not get into it until the Japanese attacked us in Pearl Harbor. So the United States did not get in that war just to bail out Winston Churchill. He was begging FDR to do it. FDR did not do it. The U.S. only got in when we were directly attacked at Pearl Harbor. So again, we should have this debate. I guess my problem with Tucker is he'll have these guests like the nun with the mustache or the World War II academic. He does no critical examination, even though I've known him long enough. I know that he knows the counter arguments and the questions to raise. So people will say the most outrageous things, even when Nick Fuentes brought up Stalin. Now, I know you well enough, Alex. You're not a fan of Stalin. I mean, this is the greatest butcher of socialism of all time. This is a guy who killed more people than Hitler. How can somebody say, quote, I am a fan of Stalin, and the guy talking to him not go, wait, stop, hold on, did I hear you right? You actually approve of the greatest socialist butcher of all time, the sort of monster of the 20th century? Why is that? How would you defend that? But Tucker's like, interesting, you know, we'll come back to that, and never does. So what I see, it's the pattern with Tucker, I think, that I find disturbing. I don't want him in any way canceled or deplatformed. He has a huge platform, and he'll continue to have it. I'm simply saying I don't agree with him. I don't think he really represents these days what we stand for in MAGA.
Well, I think Tucker's just completely broken with the establishment. I think he's curious. And I think, well, let's get into Mark Levin and Hammer and all them saying, and take him out like a weasel. Clearly, that's backfired on them. I mean, what do you see about that lobby coming after Tucker? Where does that go?
Well, I must say, look, I don't approve of these kinds of, cancellation campaigns. You know, Alex, years back, when I was at the American Enterprise Institute, this is going back to the 1990s, and there was some controversy around Pat Buchanan, because Pat Buchanan was saying some things about Israel. And I would get, people would be coming around AEI with a big petition to get Pat Buchanan's syndicated column canceled. And Dinesh, will you sign? And I was like, no, I refuse to sign because I'm not going to be a part of this. If I wanted to write an op-ed or an article about where I disagree with Pat Buchanan, I'll think about it. I'll do that myself. I don't need to sign your petition. I've never been on board with these sort of cancellation campaigns. I believe in free speech for you and for me and for Nick Fuentes and for Tucker. But believing in free speech doesn't make you immune to criticism. And I think that is really where sometimes people blur the distinction. They're like, you're trying to get Tucker canceled. No, I'm not trying to get Tucker canceled. I'm merely disagreeing with him.
No, that's definitely true. People that on the right and left, when you disagree with them, they say it's censorship. That's not censorship.
No, and you know, let's go back to Buckley in the old days, because Buckley was a kind of a gatekeeper. I will admit that. But he was not a narrow gatekeeper. You know, the old National Review, which I experienced really just as a teenager, the old National Review was full of kooks. Brilliant kooks, but they're all over the place. I mean, there were paleoconservatives and there were southern agrarians who were against Lincoln, and there were libertarians, and there were people who wanted to dissolve the state. There were traditionalists, so it was people all over the place, from Friedrich Hayek to George Will to a guy named Whitaker Chambers. And Buckley liked it. I mean, the kookier the better. As long as you were smart and you wanted to argue, Buckley was all for it. But Buckley's point of view is, look, it's not unlimited. In other words, we don't want outright lunatics on our side, outright bigots, people who say that, you know, blacks are like monkeys. That was not acceptable at National Review. Why? Because Buckley recognized that that would smear the entire movement. That would actually take us down. So Buckley's idea was a big tent, but not an unlimited tent. And that's pretty much my view.
My point is that Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin trying to come in and say, I can play the clips, I don't want to play them, I'm sure you've seen them. We're going to deplatform you, we're going to get you, we're going to crush you. You're a fox in the hen house. We're going to neutralize you. Is just extremely aggressive. And I don't think they realize in this hyper-aware, populist, anti-establishment movement, like if I was advising the pro-Likudniks on how to destroy themselves, I would tell them to do exactly what they're doing. I mean, I don't know. I want to believe they're smart. I don't think they're stupid. But this is like, but I get for them personally, it makes them the center of attention, just like those going after Israel. So I think that's a lot of what's going on here, is this is a kind of a simplification of the world down to Israel and Islam and pro-Israel, anti-Israel. My big concern is accept it, have a debate, whatever. I just want to call out the fact that there are forces on both sides of this, both in the right wing and the left. It's kind of the third ring. The left's licking their lips over this. And so I'm trying to like get a sophisticated message to people to see this and just pull back that it's not the only game in town. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And look, I'll put it this way. You know, as you know, my son-in-law is a young congressman, the youngest in the GOP. He hears from young people all the time, as I do. And a lot of these young people are very, well, to use your word, anti-establishment. They have been lied to by their professors, by their teachers. They have been lied to by the FBI, by the police state, by the CDC, by the NIH. So they are, I think, rightfully distrustful of authority. And they don't take things for granted because someone said so. I think the problem here is this, that what is happening is that some of these young people are falling for the idea that because they have been, because they have seen all these conspiracies come true, and because they have seen all these institutions lie to them, that therefore there is a sort of master manipulator, a kind of puppeteer of all the puppeteers, the person that is controlling all of this. And that is somehow the Mossad. That's Israel. That's Netanyahu, or that's the Jews. Now, my point is, I can understand how you got there, because you got there by a series of steps where a lot of institutions genuinely earned your distrust. But I don't think that move is the correct move. Now, I'm happy to debate it. This is not a case where I think that debate should be kind of restricted or shut down in any way. I just don't think it's true. I mean, how can a country of 10 million people with a GDP that is an infinitesimal fraction of ours, that doesn't even have a fraction of the weaponry that we do, how can they possibly, quote, control us? I mean, at the same time, you have people saying things like, Israel is so dependent on us that if we don't give them $3 billion, their country will collapse. And those are the same people who say Israel is so powerful that they own every congressman and every senator.
Now we're getting to the heart of the matter.
Which is it?
Now we're in the heart of the matter. Here's the bottom line. The Democrats have record low approval rating, record low fundraising. They're falling apart. There's no doubt Netanyahu and the Israel lobby that backed Trump greatly, didn't get him in, but helped because he saw the left become so anti-Semitic. They're now saying, hey, we want to run things. They're not running things. But by that attempt, it makes the cliche somewhat true in people's brains. And so then they say, oh, that's it. When now we're allied with the left, making that the only issue. I totally agree with China and all the other factions and everything. Israel's just a sliver of that. But the Israel lobby is trying at least to bully its way around the Republican Party and doing it very threateningly and stupidly. So it makes the delusion true. And then that explodes.
I think what you're saying is Alex, it's backfiring because any heavy-handed campaign is going to provoke a resistance. I don't think that the Israel lobby, by the way, is less determined or cunning or has more resources than, let's say, the China lobby or the Qatar lobby.
I think China is about five times the influence. So stay right there. Let's go over this. And again, folks, I'm not here as an apologist for Israel. I'm just like, it's just like, come on. All these people waking up only know one thing, Israel. You've got to learn other stuff. And people say, oh, it's a distraction from Israel. No, it's called having a widespread.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Demos was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Demos because it's a thyroid issue, and the Demos has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you, and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support for so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way. So if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I want to be 100% clear. I don't get any Israeli money, Qatari money, Ford Foundation money, any corporate money, any banker money. I sell direct products to listeners. This is 15 years ago. The left came after all my sponsors and harassed them and threatened them, so I lost them. So I said, we'll just direct sale. I kind of built the model that everybody else is using now. You have good products, and you know that's what you do with theauctionswar.com. 50% off a lot of the products right now. Buy one bottle of methylene blue, get another bottle free, and a free ball cap, unprecedented sale, collective murdered out InfoWars hat. But I've had the anti-Israel lobby that just makes up constant stuff and is allied with the Islamicists make up countless things about me, all crap. But I've always been fair and criticized Israel and its leaders for doing bad things. I just call balls and strikes. Like, I don't dislike the Chinese people. I think they're great, amazing, but I don't like their communist leaders. So I think, you know, Dinesh D'Souza, of a lot of people out there criticizing Tucker, is one of the most credible because he comes from a place of real discussion. That said, and I don't even want to pay attention to it, but I've been forced to, the level of hatred at Tucker from the American Zionist lobby and the Christian Zionists is foaming at the mouth. And they need to know anything old paradigm is being rejected now by young people and middle-aged folks. Maybe you got some boomers, but I'm telling you, I'm on the street. And I'm just saying, this bullying stuff is not going to go well. Because, look, I'm not stupid. I think second, third, fourth order effects, okay? I don't want Israel driven from the mountains to the sea. I'm not anti-Israel. But all you that are anti-Israel, they got a bunch of nuclear weapons. They're not going anywhere. So this delusional thing to say Israel runs everything and is the only source of any problem on the earth, and to obsess over it becomes a distraction from China and the EU and the censors and the drug cartels and the fentanyl and the pedophiles and Hollywood and the left. So I'm like intellectually, I know the public, a lot of the public wants an easy, this football team, that football team, this hockey team, that football team. And people say, well, which side are you on? I'm on Team Humanity. So I could talk about it for hours. The point is, it's extremely frustrating. I saw this big conflagration coming years ago. I tried to defuse it on both sides. Turns out I made it worse, but whatever, I tried. And now here we are going into the midterms coming up, and this is a disaster. Because they've got the polls, the analytics, like Israel's bigger than inflation. This is cuckoo town. This is like 8 million people or whatever. So, and I get it. Everybody gets to be a drama queen. Netanyahu gets to stay in power. Oh, we're under attack. And then the right, oh, we're under attack. And it's like everybody making this. Like, how did this happen again? It is spiritual. So here's the clip Dinesh is talking about of Tucker and Sharia law. Let's analyze it together.
But you should know, Seth, that the real danger is Sharia law. Sharia law. And you can tell when you go to a place like Abu Dhabi or Riyadh, like, oh man, I hope we don't ever wind up with a society like this with a rape rate of zero where you leave your keys in your Lamborghini and don't ever worry about it being stolen. And, you know, if people want to get wasted, they do it at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope we don't wind up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, I mean, Sharia law is obviously just a punchline. I don't know that too many people actually believe in the reality of that. And I mean, sure, like I said, you know, I'm a lawyer. I actually studied legal philosophy. Right. Sharia is not that different from, other, legal codes. A lot of our own legal code, the Anglo-Saxon common law, Anglo-American common law, derives ultimately from, religious authorities.
Yeah, religious authority, but I mean, we stone women to death, throw gays off buildings. So I hadn't seen that clip. I get it. I've had those talks with Tucker. He's saying the left is even a bigger threat than Islam. And but I do get where you're going. And next time I talk to Tucker, I'm going to ask him about that. So that is a interesting clip.
Yeah, just responding, Alex, to what you were saying earlier. I don't think there's any of us, certainly not me, who believes that somehow Israel is immune from criticism. Just to offer two criticisms. One is somebody was not looking at the border when October 7th occurred. There's going to need to be a big investigation about how that happened. Number two, if Israel had released the footage on October 7th, I think the world would have a much better understanding of what happened. The government of Israel chose not to do that. Had Israel carpet bombed Gaza on October 8th, I don't think that you would have gotten a whisper, or you probably got a whisper, but not, you would not have gotten the same complaints. But because the Israelis dragged it out over 2 years, they became more vulnerable to world criticism. So right here, I've just given you in 30 seconds, three criticisms of Israel that, I think should be made. And so this is not about giving Israel any kind of immunity. Second of all, if you were to ask me in America here to prioritize what the Trump administration should be focusing on, I would say number one, they should be focusing on prosecuting the bad guys in the Biden administration. There are a lot of them. There are only one or two of them that have been indicted.
No, I agree. They're going to come back with a vengeance, as they promised, if they're not dealt with. They're the coup. I agree. Job number one is that.
That's job number one. Job number two is to go beyond rounding up just mere criminals to finding those 5 million people who came in under Biden under a kind of blatant wink-wink or even open invitation and send them back. I mean, all 5 million of them. And that is not being undertaken right now. And that is a key priority. A lot of other problems would solve themselves if we did that. Then there are issues of housing. How do you buy a house today when homes that used to cost $200,000 now cost $650,000?
And the Federal Reserve won't cut rates right. So I mean, I agree with others. So let's move to that next. Solutions for America, what the big issues are with the National Citizen and your new film. So, and I'm not saying this, to the anti-Israel crowd. I'm being completely honest, or the pro-Israel crowd. How do we move away from the central issue? It is a central issue, which is totally insane. I mean, look, okay, I'm sorry 50,000 Gazans are dead, okay? And I'm sad thousands of Israelis are dead. But a million plus dead in Ukraine could destroy the world. Like, if you look at scales, it's not even, how do we extricate ourselves from the whole Israel debate when we've got Netanyahu and all his surrogates grandstanding because they want to play victim because it keeps him in power? I mean, how do we get out of this?
Well, look, whatever Israel does and says, there are huge issues that are going on around the world. The persecution of Christians is going on right now in Sudan. It's going on in Nigeria. It's going on in Syria. I was really delighted to see Trump basically say, hey, listen, you know, either you fix the problem in Nigeria or we're going to come in guns blazing. Now, again, some people hear that and they go, oh, is this going to be World War III? But Trump is not talking here about U.S. troop involvement. He's talking about sending in SEAL Team 6 for 4 days to clean up the problem. And if we're not going to stand with the Christians around the world, who are we actually going to stand with? I mean, are we or are we not a society on a Christian foundation? And are these or are these not our Christian brothers around the world? So I agree. Israel is part of a much bigger situation. Now, obviously, if you're the president, you have to have a foreign policy. You can't say things like, forget about Israel, just focus on domestic problems, because Trump is dealing with international problems on many different fronts. But if you're telling me that domestic problems need to be a political priority, particularly going into the midterms, yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Well, I want to play a clip of Trump here from yesterday, because I know MTG. She comes on all the time. She always says, I love Trump. Overall, 90%+ good. She's only giving advice on what she thinks bad. Trump obviously doesn't see the clips. He believes the reporter and says, oh, she's an actress now. I don't know what happened to her. When all she does is preface that, and she's trying to be fair. So, you know, my issue is, again, Trump needs to see things before he talks about it. But, you know, overall, the point is that at least as populist, conservative, Christian, nationalist, I'm proud of our party and movement that we are introspective. We do debate. We do discuss. And every time I say one thing a week criticizing Trump, it's international media. Oh, Jones turns against Trump. And it's some edited 10-second clip. That's not what's happening. And so I think it's also important for conservatives to not get mad at an MTG when she levels things that she thinks are credible. A lot of it, you know, I think is accurate. And don't eat our own like the left does because we're not a cult. Here she is. Here's Trump.
President earlier today, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a big ally of yours, said that she would rather see you focused on nonstop domestic policy meetings here at the White House instead of nonstop foreign policy meetings. What's your response to her saying that and also saying that grocery prices are up and not down, as you've said?
Yeah, so I don't know what happened to Marjorie. She's a nice woman, but I don't know what happened. She's lost her way, I think. But I have to view the presidency as a worldwide situation, not locally. I mean, we could have a world that's on fire where wars come to our shores very easily if you had a bad president. We had a horrible president, and we ended up with Russia, Ukraine, and we ended up with other disasters, too. Don't forget, I put out 8 wars, 9 to come. I think I'll get the other one taken care of, but I put out 8 wars. And look at the damage that Russia, Ukraine has done to us as a country. I mean, we spent $350 billion. We're not spending any money anymore. Now they pay us through NATO. You know, I got NATO to go from 2% to 5%. Well, that's very important. When you're president, you really sort of have to watch over the world because you're going to be dragged into it. Otherwise, you're going to be dragged into a world war. I think if I weren't president, that war would have never happened if I was president. And if I weren't president, that war could have led to World War III. It won't. It's not going to anymore. But when I first got in, I said, wow, this situation could lead to World War III. And I got NATO together. I got everybody together. But with all of that, I passed a great big beautiful bill, which is the biggest tax cuts in the history of our country. So when somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's now catering to the other side, I don't know what, you know, I guess she's, you know, got some kind of an act going, but I'm surprised at her. But when somebody like Marjorie goes over and starts making statements like that, it shows she doesn't know. I don't devote a lot of my time. Let me give you.
Well, A, the media misrepresents what she's doing, but B, obviously we're all interconnected. Small world. Trump's trying to stabilize the country, the dollar. All of it. I agree with what he's saying. He's right, but so is she. The media has misrepresented it. But you've got Laura Ingraham attacking Trump last night. Because the hot thing is to do it, not because the left picks it up. Nobody watches them. The constituency, I get, wants instant gratification. They don't know how far we've moved this quick. And so people say, oh, attack Trump more. I'm like, do you understand that this is very tenuous? I will criticize where there's problems, try to get him back on the straight and narrow. But no, he's a lifeboat we're in. So it's a very narrow tightrope to walk here, in my point. And people better be very careful. I'm not talking about Green or anybody. I'm just saying in general that if Trump fails, you look at the world economy and things, it goes from bad to worse. And that's just Susan.
Yeah, look, I mean, number one, I think we know enough about Trump to realize he is a certain type of personality. He is an absolute, like, alpha male of alpha males. He hates to be criticized. And if you criticize him, he's going to lash out. I mean, that is a given. And it's very different. If you had said the same thing and it was Reagan, Reagan would have been like, well, you know, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's done a great job, but, you know, we need to have a little bit of a talking about this and so on. Well, Trump is going to be like, you're off the reservation. What's wrong with you? That is Trump's personality. Number two, Trump was making a subtle point here. I think that is that while Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying, hey, Trump, you need to pay more attention to domestic issues, Trump is saying, look, these international issues and domestic issues are connected. And so when you look at an issue like tariffs, now, is that a domestic issue or a foreign issue? Well, it's a foreign issue. It involves taxing these foreign countries.
But it's even more domestic. No, he's totally right that it's not even secondary. All his international policy is 100% American-centric.
Yes, and not to mention the fact that the globalists are added internationally. So if you're going to dismantle globalism, you have to do it. You got to take on the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, like, is she mad that they're threatening Starmer and the EU to stop censorship? No, that's directly suing our companies.
Exactly. Exactly right.
That's the thing about going to Venezuela. I didn't support these other wars. This one's constitutional. They're doing it. They're funding the Democrats. They're shipping in fentanyl. Thomas Jefferson with the Barbary War, he'd already be in there. This is the Monroe Doctrine. So my listeners get mad at me. They go, oh, now you're pro-war. No, I think it's dangerous. The CIA can set him up. I understand his thinking. Thomas Jefferson would have already hit Venezuela.
Exactly. And Trump's view is we need to have a muscular America First policy that, I mean, look, we hit Soleimani, we hit Baghdadi. Hitting Venezuela is very much in the same idea that we go out there, we clobber these guys, and we come home, and things will be better over there, because that's a narco-terrorist regime. By the way, Iran, China, Russia all have their fingerprints in Venezuela. You have Iranians sitting in the Venezuelan parliament. So it's not exactly, Venezuela's become an international playground for a lot of bad guys.
Well, that's putting it lightly. They're definitely involved in election fraud. They're definitely being used as a piggy bank by the Democrats. You want to cut the Democrats off, you got to cut Ukraine and you got to cut Venezuela off. So what about Ukraine? Where do you see that going? I mean, we've got like literal road warrior footage. The Russians are taking towns every day, cities every few weeks. They're just, they can already take the whole thing. They don't want a confrontation with NATO, but they're doing it incrementally. I'm not glad any of this happened, but Trump's trying to shut it down. Where do you see Ukraine going?
Well, I support Trump's efforts to do that. See, this is very different than what's going on with the Israel conflict, because
supposed to get back to Israel. We're covering up. Exactly. We have a million plus dead, World War III, nuclear war on the table by all analysts. Let's apologize to Dash. We're moving away from Israel here. Let's move on. I'm being sarcastic. Yes. So what do you see? One of the biggest threats is obviously this Ukraine thing.
Absolutely. Look, all I was about to say with Israel is that Israel can fight the terrorists simultaneously in Sudan, in Gaza, in Iran, and they've done the bulk of that fighting. By contrast, in Ukraine is more like an ant trying to take on an elephant, or maybe a Russian bear is maybe a better way to put it. The point is Ukraine cannot even survive without it being made a proxy war for NATO. And that's really what's been going on now.
By the way, I wasn't criticizing you. I was agreeing with you. I was like, yeah, well, we should be talking the whole hour about Russia.
Exactly. And I think Trump's issue here is how do you get Putin, who is basically now on a kind of victory march, how do you get him to relent? It's, you know, when somebody is seizing territory, one on top of the other, they're not likely to want to stop. They're going to want to say, all right, Ukraine, well, you know, we got this war going. We're going to finish it on our terms. And so I think Trump is trying to figure out a way to make it in the interests of both parties to quit.
Yeah, and I know Victoria Nuland and Obama and the Democrats started it and encircled Russia. Russia's not perfect. My concern is with the vitriol, with the Russian hardliners, where this wins if we're so weak. So I'm now entering the field house of how do we actually put pressure on Russia to stop?
Yeah, normally there, look, we have limited tools to do that, right? We've already imposed all kinds of sanctions on Russia, so our economic leverage is pretty weak. We certainly don't want to deploy more military resources over there. We want to be pulling back. The problem, I think, for us is not just what's going on over there, but there is a powerful defense complex in the United States that profits immensely from these wars. They make hundreds of millions of dollars per day with these wars continuing. And so dismantling our own domestic kind of war complex is part of what the challenge that Trump is
facing.
And so
MTG should be glad, which I know she is overall. It took it, but this is how, you know, $300 million and all the rest of it. Absolutely. Trump's doing the right thing there. But like he said, he's ended eight conflicts. This one is really, well, let me ask you this question. You have a lot of sources. NATO talks about this 250,000 man and woman thing they're going to send in. I don't know if they're going to blink. They're talking about $800 billion they're going to spend. Germany is now saying get ready for conscription of men and women. Russia nears biggest gain since Bakhmut. Putin Magmax infantry taking over. I mean, this is, I just hope Russia doesn't get too giddy. High off of this, because this smells really dangerous.
You know, the Europeans really have lost their minds. And I say this because in the era of the Cold War, when you are actually dealing with a Soviet empire, all these European countries were sort of, they were weak. They wanted to make concessions. They wanted to make arms control deals.
They had Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, they had the nuclear freeze movement and the peace movement and disarm now. And now that we don't have a Soviet Union, now that we are in a post-Soviet era in Russia, suddenly the Europeans have become militaristic. They want to have conscription. So these people are, I mean, it's almost like they respond in the exact opposite way that reason and common sense tells you to. When they needed to be tough, they were not. now that they don't need to be turning up the temperature, nevertheless, they're ready to do it. They're ready to go to fight.
Well, I think that's because the EU's on the verge of collapse. I mean, they admit that. Their foreign ministers and their economic ministers say, our model's a 20-year war with Russia. We believe they'll never go nuclear, and we'll bankrupt them. Well, sorry, Russia's winning. So, oh, my God. And then all Putin wants is a deal for no NATO expansion. They won't do that. So how do you see this ending?
Well, I mean, I think we should, this is a case where that deal is probably a good deal to make. It was not a good idea from the beginning to have Ukraine being invited to be part of the sort of NATO orbit. Look, I mean, if we had a Ukraine on our back door that was once part of the United States, and was being heavily armed by our adversaries, we would be nervous. I mean, in that sense, Putin's reaction is not entirely surprising, given what has happened between the Europeans and Ukraine.
And we know the history of the Russians. Once they commit, there's no going back.
Exactly. And now it becomes an issue of national pride for Putin. And this is a war he does. I mean, imagine if Putin fights with Ukraine to a draw. This would be like a heavyweight fighter getting in the ring with a lightweight and they have a draw. That's going to be humiliating for Putin. So I think, ironically, some of these issues like national pride come into play. This is something that diplomatically you have to factor in. How do you get a treaty that also in some ways appeases Putin's ego?
The problem is Zelensky won't even in NATO and their Northern Alliance won't even ever have a discussion. The red line was NATO entrance. They still want NATO entrance. It's crazy. In closing, I think you're the fairest person out there that's not been anti-Israel. You're pragmatic. I agree with you. I'm not anti-Israel. I get attacked by the Israel lobby because I won't just do whatever they say. They are their own worst enemy. In closing, how is there a way to extricate ourselves and move on to the big domestic issues, the war issues? I mean, I guess we're not going to get Nick Fuentes and Mark Levin to stop or Candace. I think Tucker came this curiosity. He got bullied. He got mad. I don't think he's doing it on purpose, but he's a great guy in my view. But definitely this is destructive for humanity. Is there any way to get this to stop? Because it seems to me like drama queen world where, you know, anti-Israel is the center of the world, pro-Israel is the center of the world, and it's not the center of the world.
Look, I mean, as you know, I did a debate with Nick. I think with Nick, he likes to say outrageous things. I don't even think he's a real Nazi in the sense that he's not going to do the things the Nazis did. And I think you know that. Nick knows that. I know that. But
well, he says all the time he's edgelording. He says he's being catty.
Right. But the point is, you also have to remember that this is, in fact, a political millstone that will be hung around our neck. So if we basically start joking around with Nick and don't say, hey, Nick, listen, whatever you're saying, that's not what we stand for as Republicans. It's important to say that. Why? Because otherwise the Democrats are literally going to run commercials in which you have Nick Fuentes saying, you know, listen, you know, Hitler was really a great guy. Stalin was really a great guy. And this will appear to be the position of MAGA or America First. They will wrap it around us. They will tie it around
our
neck.
Sure, but what I'm saying is the pro Likudniks know they're adding nitrous oxide to the fire. Like, they're not stupid.
We do need, I think, in my view, it's really important to open up a discussion with young people where they're allowed to say, and Charlie was actually starting to do that, by the way, particularly toward the end, say what you want. Let's hear it out. And let's see if we can have a movement without gatekeepers, or if we need gatekeepers, where are those lines to be drawn? That's the debate I think we have next. We've got some time to straighten this out before the midterms. I agree with you. We don't want this to continue indefinitely, but I think we can be mature enough to sort it out.
I totally agree. I know you got to go, and I didn't hold this to the end to hold you over. We got a 2-minute break. I want to play the trailer for your new film, The Dragon's Prophecy, and I've got the book here with the new film. I'm a big fan of all your films, watched all your films. Do you have 5 more minutes with us?
Sure.
All right. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. Then the supposed January 6th mastermind, good friend of mine, former Ron Paul staffer, lawyer, Army Ranger. We're going to have the great Stuart Rhodes in studio with all this pipe bomber news coming out and more coming up. Don't forget, before we come back with Zetcha Souza, play this trailer, get a comment from him, and then bring in Stuart Rhodes, that I am not getting funded by Qatar or Israel or the Easter Bunny. I'm funded by you at thealexjonesstore.com, the very best supplements. We have the big sale going on right now, a murdered out limited edition InfoWars black on black hat, free with every order. And on top of it, buy one bottle of methylene blue tincture or pills, one bottle free. It goes for 48 hours till Thursday night at midnight. I sent it because of Veterans Day. We're going to have the ball cap, which is always a big sale. We've done it a few times. You know, people love it, a free ball cap with every order. High quality Richardson hat. But now you get buy one bottle of ultramethylene blue, get one free. That is amazing. We got the best, folks. It will blow you away. It's so good for you. Such great energy, so much more. So take action now, thealexjonesstore.com, and get buy one, get one free methylene blue and a free ball cap with every order. Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione. And just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.